about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Ever wanted an escape hatch to leave Earth and its problems? War, disease, Justin Bieber? Two men are working on one for you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
Yo, 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 yo. Gentlemen.
Yo?
You ready to get this party started?
I don't think we are, actually.
Yes. Please, let's do it. When people finally get here, I want this thing to be cracking. All right.
Then come on now, mother...
Who's he talking to?
He got so angry.
Let's get this f***ing party started!
Language?
Yeah, you don't have to curse. We get
you a... asshole! On the
You're
floor!
Really... I gotta stop you right
now!
There. I gotta...
Now!
I do not...
Now! Have...
Jesus.
Let's get this mother f***ing pumping! Let's start bumping!
I appreciate the rhyme, but I'm still not on board.
You're the man after my own heart, and now...
And what do you think of people using the N-word? Is it a bad idea? That's a pretty bad idea, right?
Our feature presentation.
That's a great question, though. He's just trying to get...
Is it?
Yeah, he wants to fully understand in what place he can and can't use that word.
Just never. I think that's a good rule.
Wow, that's racist.
Oh, I mean... He's just looking for clarification, that's all.
Yeah, I clarified it for him.
Oh, boom. You did? Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, also...
Oh, my God, it's raining!
Yeah, I was wondering, Kevin, when you walked in 15 seconds ago, if the rain had impeded your progress in any way today on the way in.
No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I got up. I didn't have much time to spare. Hard to
really?
Believe.
What?
And I heard one of the fire alarms beep, chirp.
Uh-huh.
Because it needs a new battery or whatever.
Yeah.
So I thought that's going to annoy the entire house. So I'm trying desperately to
but
be quiet.
But not your problem because you're leaving.
Well... I tried to fix it before I left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the issue right there.
Oh.
Don't try and fix it before.
Yeah.
For me specifically, before I leave.
Again, you feel too much.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what it all comes down to.
So I thought maybe I could find the one that's going off and I could just take it out and put the 9-volt battery, you know, a new one in. Put it back up. That doesn't take very long.
Huh.
So as soon as I do that, I take off the fire alarm. You're talking
smoke detectors, right?
Smoke detector, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then the security alarm goes off for the whole house.
Beep, 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 beep.
They made sure everybody was awake.
Oh, my God, how miserable they must be living with me.
Just occurring to you.
Oh, Lord. I was trying my best to really calm down the noise so everybody could just sleep.
You were doing the right thing, Kevin.
Wow. I was trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that set me back about 20 seconds, Pete.
Well, that's the difference.
In answer to your question?
Sure. That's how fine-tuned Kevin's schedule is in the morning.
Right?
20 seconds makes a difference.
Oh.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the 5th of January.
By the way, have you guys heard about, I know we're none of us are really into resolutions, but have you heard, and I've seen more of it this year than in past years, have you heard of Drynuary? Have you been seeing that online, Drynuary?
No.
Is that people not drinking for the month?
For the month of January.
Yeah.
People who are cutting back and saying, you know what? And what do you think the reason is for that? Are these people who think they have a problem or just people who feel like they need to dry out because they really overdid it for the holidays? Or
yeah, I think it's just a kind of a new year. You kind of take stock of some things and you might have done it up real big for the last couple months.
I just feel like a month off seems like a lot. Can't you recover from even if you went hard over the holidays?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you should be able to recover from that in a week.
I mean, if you're good, yeah.
Right? Right? But a month?
Yeah.
It
seems like a lot.
That seems like a lot for a lot of people. You know, I'm not talking about people who have a problem. I mean, just people who are just casual drinkers. A whole month seems like it'd be tough.
Yeah. I think maybe there's just not a lot going on in January, so people think it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, well, there's no big...
Nothing big this week.
Big events.
Right.
So they're like, let's do it in January.
Nothing until Monday, till the K-Rock office party.
That's right. Yeah,
she's going to be going off.
I forgot.
Monday
yes.
at 3 p.m.?
3 right. to 5, yeah.
Well, I was thinking about health, and I was thinking about getting into bicycling. And I don't know if you guys think that's a good idea. Why are you laughing?
Lord, please, please.
Why are you laughing?
Please bicycle.
I was thinking about getting into cycling.
Yes,
no.
You should follow that gut.
God.
Now, why are you laughing? That's a great idea. A little fresh air, a little exercise, a little fun, see the city.
You should do that.
I can't.
Oh, I feel like you're mocking me. I feel like you're
not serious. I'm not. I'm saying you should seriously do it.
I think just stick to walking the city.
I love 100%.
I love walking. Bike. And I do a fair amount of that. But I see a lot of people biking, and it seems like they're having fun. It seems like they're getting more places than I am with the bike.
Well, I think they're getting there faster, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Faster and further, and why not?
So drive.
New Orleans, by the way, the city in which I live, is very flat. Very flat. I mean, it's mostly under, sea level, and and the highest point in the city of New Orleans is 20 feet.
Right.
The highest point in the whole city. And that's a man-made mountain that they or hill that they made, as part of the part of the levee system. So it's not like you've got to. It's not like biking in San Francisco, where you've really got to be good to be able to get up and down those hills. I mean, it's pretty easy to bike here,
right?
So I think that's another reason I should look into it.
Agreed.
I don't like your attitude.
Are we
what are you talking about? I'm giving you nothing but solid, solid, positive advice.
Like a bike where you clamp your feet in, and then you've got the tight shorts and everything
No,
like a mountain bike type thing where you can still wear cargo shorts.
Or a fixie. Is it called a fixie?
I think that's what it's called, yeah. I'm just talking about a...
You should start a fixie gang.
Just a city bike is what I'm talking about. Just
knock over some liquor stores.
Get around, go in the 5 to 10 mile range, shall we say. Nothing extreme. I'm not going to the Swiss Alps.
I like the way your mind is working right now. This is good.
You're saying that because you think and hope I'm going to get hurt.
You have no idea what I'm thinking.
All right. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking and I hope that you get hurt.
Well, just briefly, I'll tell you, and I know we got to go. We got a very busy show.
How long before Bean pulls a Bono? If he starts riding a bike, let's say he rides a bike every day. Mm-hmm. Does he make it a month?
I'd say within 3 weeks.
Three weeks, okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not a lot of confidence in this room.
Well, you don't know the rules. You don't know who has the right of way. Things are going to happen. Life comes at you fast, Bean.
Well, that's true. Yep. My new hero, and I'll do this in 1 minute.
You're a little awkward as well. That might be
we'll
part
move
of
on.
The
my new hero, yeah. And the thing that got me thinking about this, and I had already been thinking about it, but Robert Marchand is in the news. Did you guys see him? This is the Frenchman who was just in a race over the weekend and set a new record for those in the 105 and above category.
105 what?
Years old. He's 105.
That's a category?
Yes, it is.
Not just one person?
No, and he pedaled 14 miles in 60 minutes, in 1 hour. He went 14 miles.
Stationary bike.
This is on the road. It's not a blazing speed, but when you're 105?
Wow.
But that's impressive.
Can you bike in that category, though? Could you add yourself into that category?
I'm not looking to get into
it. Because I feel like you could keep up.
I'm not looking to get into any races here. Oh. He was persuaded by doctors to take up eating meat again for this challenge because he is a vegetarian. He's only 5 feet tall, by the way. He weighs 110 pounds. He's very small, but his heart is very big, his doctor said. His oxygen consumption is the same as a man half his age who doesn't do any sports. So he has an exceptional heart.
Huh.
He was born in 1911, was a keen cyclist until the age of 22, and his coach told him he would never become a champion because of his size. So he put away the biking and took it up again when he was 75 and has been enjoying it so much ever since then. He bikes 4 times a week for an hour with friends. And now he's just gone 14 miles in 60 minutes.
Where's the downside? Why are you not already doing this? Why don't you already have a bike? Call a couple of friends?
Go to
a bike shop?
I may look at it. There's a place down the street where you can rent a bike. Maybe that's the way to go, is just to rent for a little while and see if I like it.
Who is a 105-year-old guy biking with? Who are his friends?
I assume they're much younger than he is.
Wouldn't you? Yeah.
I would think. But that's pretty impressive, by the way.
It really is.
I love this dude.
You really do. And you should really be inspired by him.
Yeah. Maybe make a t-shirt.
Right?
Yeah.
Some helmets.
Do it for Francois. What's his name?
And get out there and get – it's Robert Marchand.
Doesn't matter. Go with Francois.
Yeah.
All right. All right. I'll let you know how that goes, guys.
This is good news. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
Just so you know, the way you talk makes you sound like an asshole.
I mean, there are a lot of other things that I do that are asshole-ish as well, right? Dr. Drew's on the program because it's Thursday. Bede's going to tell him that he does not like heart disease.
Yeah, he's very against
it. He's against it.
I will not allow it.
Yeah. Comedian Adam Ray will be joining us in studio. We are going to talk to you if you've gotten in a fight with your neighbors over leaf blowers. Now, this seems to be a thing. Bean was so angry yesterday when he was talking about it.
Well, they should be outlawed. They should literally be illegal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. But so we'll take your battled stories over the leaf blowers. We also are going to tell you, Bean's a weird dude. He's trying to go to the Presidential Wax Museum auction. Yeah. So this is an actual museum made up of wax figures that of former presidents.
Yeah. And not recently done.
No.
No.
No. So they have to be the jankiest
They've
wax figures ever.
Bad. Yeah. Right.
So that's his mission. So we're going to try and help him along with that, like we do.
Mm-hmm.
And you also drove someplace and it was closed. Has this happened to anybody where you drive someplace and you get there and you go, huh, that's not open? Happened to me, happened to Bean.
Huh.
So we're gonna talk about that today as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
No better. Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53 now. Our friend Ralph Garman is here. What's going on, man? What's the latest? What's happening?
It's raining out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just want everybody to know it's raining. But you know what? We need it. So I'm glad.
But this won't affect the drought, is what I'm told.
Glad it's raining because we need it. Well, it won't because it is cold. Isn't it cold up in the upper altitudes where we get the snowpack? And I believe it's snowing up there.
Yeah. I heard that a couple of the reservoirs are almost filled to capacity up north, and they're going to have to let the water out to refill again. Not wow. out, like, to waste it.
Right, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, that's great news.
Huh. So maybe it is helping Bean. Why don't you not worry about it? Why don't you get on your bike and go by the levees and not worry so much about Southern California, where we live, okay?
Is that the best idea ever?
Being on a bike?
Yes.
Only thank Jesus.
Yes.
And heaven.
Yes, please.
The 2017 is going to be, it's looking up, is what
yes,
I'm saying.
Yes, please.
I am offended for the reasons that I think are behind your joy.
I don't think those reasons are behind the joy at all. I think they're right there in front of the joy.
Yeah, they're pretty
I think
much
they're hanging
the
all
face.
Over the joy. I'm not being secretive. This is a guy who tried to ride a moped and scraped himself against a wall.
For about 30 feet. He was somehow stuck to the wall and couldn't.
Come on!
No,
oh, it's
God.
True!
Elbow, absolutely shoulder, true. Leg, just torn up.
Couldn't just move
no,
the handlebars?
No, couldn't stop driving into a wall.
No.
Come on, right?
Oh,
put him on a bike.
Bean,
anything with wheels.
Don't do it.
Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it.
I think that wasn't that the same trip, Kevin, where I then later in the week ended up getting hit by a bus
yep.
and broke my foot?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, he got hit
but
by a bus.
But not to be confused with the trip where he threw his back out putting on his pants.
Different one,
different
yes.
Trip,
correct, yeah.
Right? So,
good Lord.
What we're saying is, do it, do it, do it, do it. Hey, tomorrow night at the Improv on Melrose, it is the first Hollywood Babble On of 2017.
No.
Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage for Hollywood Babylon. We'd love to have you join us at 10 p.m. tomorrow night at the Improv. We're going to talk about many things, including Smith's new gig at the Goldbergs. I don't know if you heard about this. He's directing Goldbergs episode.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Fantastic.
Very exciting. He is directing an episode about where the family and the kids, you know, takes place in the 80s. It's a period.
It's a really funny
sitcom.
Show.
Very, very funny show. It's all about the kids' excitement for the 1989 Tim Burton Batman movie and all the Batmania that surrounds that release. And so Kevin will be directing that. So congratulations to my boy Kevin. You go to improv.com to get your tickets for tomorrow night. Love to see you there. Today,
I wouldn't listen to it.
Well,
oh, wow.
It's all right. We love you anyway. Today, if you'd like to get out in the rain and enjoy it, sometimes you just wouldn't get out and enjoy the rain. Viola Davis is getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning at 11:30 a.m. Viola, of course, is the star of Ally.
How to Get Away with Murder.
There you go. So if you're a fan of that show, you can see her get her star at 11:30 this morning.
I love her so much.
It's at 7013 Hollywood Boulevard. 7013 Hollywood Boulevard, right in front of Marshall's, across from the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. Meryl Streep will be speaking, by the way.
Wow.
I don't know what the connection is there.
Hmm. I'm thinking in my head they must be what pals. They might have been in together,
must be
but
pals of some kind.
I'm thinking of it. I haven't seen Fences yet. Have you guys?
Not yet, no. But well, I've seen Fences just in life. I mean, it's
the movie. I've
tried
the movie
properties with, and you know, keeping people out of things.
With Viola Davis. But that scene that they show in the commercial where she's all crying about how, you know, she had her own life that she gave up to be with him. And she's just weeping and I start weeping. And she's just so good. She's such a great actress. That's the hot take.
Is this Viola Davis is a good
she's
actress.
She's a good actress. Good
actress. Yeah. Oh, I'm glad we cleared that up. There was some concern.
Oh, they were in Doubt together.
Sure.
Oh, Doubt.
Yeah.
Right.
That's it.
It's Seymour Philip Hoffman.
That was a really good movie, too.
Philip Hoffman Seymour.
Never get it right,
Philip,
either.
Philip Stevenson.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Harriman.
Amy Adams, Viola right. Davis.
Yeah.
Meryl Streep.
James Corden gave his tribute to George Michael on Tuesday night. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but George Michael was the first ever guest in a version of Carpool Karaoke that Corden ever did in the UK. And so they talked about it on the show, and it was a very touching tribute. If you haven't seen it, you can see it online, but I thought it was very nice of Corden. Corden said as long as he feels like as long as he's loved music, he loved George Michael's music, and they became very good friends after working together. So, sad. Yeah. Also sad is they're going to be putting to rest Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds today in a private service in Burbank, California. The family is going to be attending along with some close personal friends. However, the family is also planning a larger public memorial for Carrie and Debbie. So stay tuned, but we'll have more details if you'd like to show your respects. And Allie, you excited?
Yeah.
Tonight's the night.
Can't wait.
Right?
Right.
Right.
We want to talk about...
Oh! Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder?
No.
No, that's next week.
Come on,
sorry,
Allie.
I got really excited that it was back. And it might not be next week.
No, I think it's the 19th.
I know it is. It's 2 weeks. God,
thanks
what?
For all the information
that you didn't need.
This is why you failed.
Nashville.
Nashville
returns
back.
Tonight.
Yay! Yes.
2-hour premiere episode tonight on CMT. And
did you watch the first hour though? How they had that preview?
No, I didn't watch anything yet.
It's real good.
Okay. Well.
You guys are both. You're going back. You're back.
Oh,
on board
I'm back.
The
I'm back. So back.
I got some, you know somewhere to go. I'm go
well, you were never
to a place.
Board
we don't know
stuff.
If people live or die. There's
right.
been a plane crash. What's happening?
Juliette Barnes, is she dead? What's happening? He doesn't know. And he's like, oh, we got a kid. What's happening with her? And Avery's all concerned.
So then much happening.
What's going on with Deacon? Is he on the bottle? Is he off the bottle? We
right?
don't know.
Oh, sorry, we're out of time.
Beating
not
up
on
his
the
best
phone.
Friend.
No.
Very sad.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the after show?
No.
There will be an after show.
Talking Nashville?
Nash Chat, I believe.
Oh, it's, no, it isn't.
I know.
Well, I'm not watching just for that reason alone, the title.
But it's hosted by a radio
Chris
lady. No, oh. wouldn't that oh. be amazing? No, a woman that's on the Bobby Bones show in Nashville. But it's going to be on...
The who now? The what
oh,
now?
It's going to be on Facebook Live. It's not going to be on TV, but still.
You're talk about
still...
Bones? That's a whole different show.
No, it's a about... it's a national radio guy out of Nashville. It's a country music type show.
You don't have to tell me. I'm a huge fan of Bobby Bones.
I'm just really excited for the after show. Oh.
Sorry I brought it up now.
Me too.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Bobby Duvall. Bobby Duvall. We love Robert Duvall, right?
Sure.
86 years old today.
I believe, and we've talked about this before, Ralph, I believe he is my favorite all-time actor, Robert Duvall.
Huh.
How do you believe that?
Can you check with yourself and get back to us?
It's your
no,
list.
No.
If you have a number one.
No, he's my favorite. I believe we've talked about it on
oh,
the show
Oh, I see.
Before.
Okay.
Yeah, he's my favorite actor.
Diane Keaton is 71 years old today. Vinnie Jones is 52. Marilyn Manson turns 48. Bradley Cooper's 42. January Jones is 39, and Deadmau5 celebrates his 36th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
There's a video going around. You can't have missed it if you're on social media in the last 24 hours that everyone is talking about these little kids, these little two-year-olds in Utah, right? They're in Utah?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, man, what? How bad could this have been? A dresser falls over on one of the kids.
Yeah.
And I remember last year, this was in the news a lot. I remember IKEA ended up making a big settlement or something like that because they had a bunch of dressers that were improperly weighted and they were pretty easy to fall over. And there were a lot of accidents like this with no telling whether this was an IKEA one or not. But the kids are playing around like they do. They're two. And the dresser falls over on one of them. And the story has a very surprising ending. Here's a little bit of the report.
When Kaylee Schauff reviewed the video of a chest falling on her twin sons, she felt it in her chest.
My heart sank. I didn't know what to do. I felt like the worst mom.
But the worst did not happen. 2.5-year-old Bodie got right up.
How is this person doing news?
That sounds like Candy Crowley, doesn't it?
No, it sounds like the totally famous Jeannie Mosley.
Don't care what her name is. She shouldn't
Jeannie
be
Mose.
Doing
Jeannie
That's who it is.
Jeannie should not Mose. Be doing news.
Jeannie Mose has done news at CNN
terrible.
For like 30 years.
This she's terrible.
She's amazing.
She's awful.
Okay.
Anyway, the kids are okay, which is the amazing part of the story.
While his twin brother Brock remained pinned.
I usually hear everything. We didn't hear a cry. We didn't hear a big thud.
For 2 minutes, Bodie tried to free his twin, first by pushing, then trying to move the dresser from the other side. But finally, Bodie managed to push the chest far enough for Brock to squirm out from under it.
All right, stop right there. So, you've seen, everybody's seen the video, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's up now at Kevin and Bean Twitter and on Facebook, too.
I don't know anything about this dresser, how lightweight it is. It certainly doesn't look like it's heavy oak or something like that. But weren't you stunned
that
2-year-old could even move the dresser?
Yes.
And almost more than that, you just see the wheels turning in his little head. And he runs around to the back of the dresser, kind of assesses the situation, comes back around. It's like he's trying to figure out in his head the best way to go about it.
Yeah,
it was,
he's working the angles.
It was amazing to watch.
Now, there's no audio on the surveillance video, but was the little boy underneath? He didn't look like he was crying or squirming or anything. He was just
he was squirming to me.
Yeah, he was definitely squirming.
But I mean, I would have look, a little kid, they sit down in a chair too hard and they bawl. I was stunned that this guy wasn't throwing a tantrum under that desk or
dresser.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but when the kid lifted up the
dresser.
Because
it had to be terrifying.
When the kid lifted up the dresser and spun it around on his above
that
his head,
was the best
that was
part.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Like, wow, that is one swole baby. Who's with me? No what?
Is there more on this tape?
Yeah, there is, actually.
Both boys were fine. But the Schauffs heard nothing and only saw in the security monitor that the dresser had fallen after the kids were both safe. They risked online criticism, posting the video to demonstrate the dangers of unfastened furniture. The chest of drawers is now bolted to the wall. Of course, we in the media are falling all over, Bodie. How could we not?
And here we go.
Tiny hero.
Giving a whole new meaning to the term brotherly love.
Many are now calling him a real-life mini super kid.
But someday Bodie will puff up his chest, crowing about the chest he lifted to rescue his twin bro.
Bodie and Brock, you guys.
Right.
Come on, Utah.
I know Brock, honestly, at that point,
No, what are you saying?
What are they going to contribute to society?
Well, they're off to a pretty good start right now.
Brody,
you got to get Bodie.
I'm just saying, Bodie and Brock. Come on now.
And by the way, Bodie, I know that there's a long history of the name Bodie spelled the right way, but this B-O-W-D-Y-B-S that they put on this Bodie, what's that about? Don't give him a weird name and then jack up his spelling, too, right? But apparently he is a real-life superhero, so we asked Dave if there's any way we could get him on the phone. Little 2-year-old Bodie who just rescued his twin brother Brock from underneath the dresser joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Bodie, how are you?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
You too?
Congratulations. That was a wonderful thing you did for your sibling.
No big deal. I just lifted it up, man. I just bench pressed it. Because I'm slow.
That dresser, compared to you, it just looked like you couldn't move it 1 centimeter.
That's right. It's because I hit the gym. Arms and legs today. Woo!
What kind of gym are you going to? You're only 2.
Gymbury.
Well, they're doing good work, Bodie.
Yeah, by the way, what's wrong with how I spell my name, asshole?
Well, you don't have to be crude about it, but it's...
B-O-W, right?
Right.
B-D-Y. Suck it!
Okay, but the name is usually spelled B-O-D-H-I. I think it's like a...
Usually it's... Suck it!
All right.
I will lift you over my head and I will crush you.
I don't doubt that at all. No, I don't.
Bodie, I am huge!
What kind of response are you getting after that video was put up?
Chicks dig me.
Do they?
Yeah. All the girls want a little bite of the bow.
Oh, Jesus. You're too, Bodie.
What's that, woman?
You're only two.
You're two.
I think it's her
point. That girl. She can't breathe.
You're only two, Bodie.
Did someone drop the chest of drawers on her? Because if they did, I can lift it up.
Thank you, Bodie.
What I do, it's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
I lift furniture.
Well, you're very good at it. Congratulations.
Okay, thanks for talking to us today.
Coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show, our first visit for the new year with our friend Jim Rome. Talking sports, that's coming up at 8 o'clock. Comedian Adam Ray on the show today, Dr. Drew Pinsky as well. You guys remember the name? Does this sound familiar? Bo Bice? Bo Bice, have you heard that name before? Bo Bice. Was on,
I barely remember the name.
He was on American Idol. He's a big hairy man back then. It looks like he's cleaned up since then. But he was he lost the show. He was the runner-up to Carrie Underwood back in 2005, I want to say. He had a hell of a voice. He was actually pretty popular for a minute.
He had long hair.
Long hair.
Yes.
That's right, yeah. Not so much anymore.
Aww.
And the reason he is back in the news is because he put up a video on his Facebook page about an incident that he said happened to him where he was, he's not claiming discrimination. He's claiming somebody said something racist about him.
Yeah.
And when you hear how ugly the thing was that the person said, it's going to be very difficult for you to explain this to your kids. When you hear what Bo Bice was called by a person in public, it's going to set you back on your heels. Let's hear
America,
the
you should be ashamed.
Wow. America, you should be ashamed.
Yeah.
He's coming on strong.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I almost feel like we should put out a warning there for the kids because they have no idea what language is about to be displayed here.
America, you should be ashamed.
Former American Idol contestant Bo Bice is claiming that he was the victim of racism and he wants justice. Bice alleges that a black Popeyes employee at the Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport targeted him with a racially insensitive comment.
Now, what would you think that comment would be? It's a guy trying to serve people food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not an emotionally charged situation.
No, you wouldn't expect it to be.
No.
Hmm.
Huh.
I mean, I'm afraid of how ugly this could get.
Right?
Yeah.
One of the three young ladies behind the corner said, he's already got his, that white boy over there.
Okay, did you guys hear that?
No, let it keep playing. We're going to get to what they said that was bad.
I think that was it. I think what Bo Bice is, I think that he was called that white boy is what set Bo Bice off.
No.
We just heard that. That's
no, that's not what he's upset about, though, right?
One of the three young ladies behind the corner said, he's already got his, that white boy over there.
Stunned to be on the receiving end of what he calls racism.
Stunned! Stunned about racism.
Is he not a white boy? I guess he's a man. I guess, would he have preferred white man? Would that have been all right?
He's stunned, Bean. He can't think what the alternative should be.
Is the problem that they mentioned his race at all? Should they just have said that gentleman over there who used to be on TV? I mean, were they looking for something? Did he want something more descriptive?
That loser? That guy that lost?
That guy's not Carrie Underwood,
they could have said.
That runner-up over there?
All right, let's continue.
Bice says the incident was shocking.
I'm not a bigot. I love everyone. I don't care if you're Bo Bice, Bo Jackson, or Bo Diddley. You should be treated the same as anybody.
Bice believes there's an unfair double standard facing him and other white people.
If the tables had been turned and I had used something and been as insensitive as to say something like that, you're talking about that I would be boycotted. There would be people not buying my albums. There would be people coming and picking in at my shows.
Are there people buying his albums?
Are there shows?
Now, in Bo Bice's defense, mm-hmm. if somebody had said that black boy over there, I think boy is a problematic word in the history of African Americans.
Because of the history.
Slavery right. connotations. There has been no oppression of a white boy
right.
ever.
Yeah, I don't think these two are analogous.
Wow.
The singer took to social media to share his traumatic experience. He writes that one of the employees even made fun of his name, calling him Bobo.
Come on!
Then they went for Bobo. I'm outraged. What's happening?
That's insult to injury, man. You what? Follow up that white boy with Bobo?
Has there ever been less of a story than this? I mean, come on.
I mean,
I look.
Stop being a baby.
I'll play devil's advocate for a moment and say, I get his point is that, is it necessary to bring race into that discussion at all? Is there was there another way to identify somebody that didn't involve what color he was? If that's the question he's asking, maybe it's a reasonable question.
But you know what probably happened is that most of the people in there were black, and he was white.
And then she was just trying to help them understood who had been served.
That's
and
the
who
quickest
hadn't.
Way to identify.
I don't for 1 second think that the young woman behind the counter was racist or meant to be racist or thought what she was saying was racist. I think he is overreacting.
But what about
Bobo?
Why do people want to feel outraged so bad? It's like he wants to be oppressed so bad. Why?
Well, he's back in the news. He's back in the
news.
That's
true. But he's talked about Bo Bice for a decade or so.
But here's what makes me angry is there are still real cases of racism
Absolutely.
Out there. And when somebody like this comes forward and makes a big deal out of nothing, then sort of it starts to become noise and you just start to block it out and not take the ones that you should take seriously.
Allie, you're in this situation at a Popeyes and somebody calls you a white girl. Are you cool with it?
I am very white. They could call me powder. I don't care. They're still right.
All right, well, let's hear some more from Bo. What's he asking for? What does he want to happen next?
An incensed Bice, who says all he wanted was an apology, is now threatening legal litigation against the fast food chain.
He's going to sue them.
Come on, Bo.
What could you sue them for?
The white guy and Bobo.
But even if they had used a horrendous racial slur, and I don't know that there is one for white people, what could you sue them for?
That guy that smells like mayonnaise.
Hurtful.
Right?
Hurtful.
He adds in his new Facebook post that he is deleting the communist media platform from devices and life.
Hold on a sec. He's deleting Facebook now because it's run by communists?
What just
took a turn? I thought he was upset about the thing that happened at Popeyes.
He adds in his new Facebook post that he is deleting the communist media platform from devices and life.
What?
He's deleting them from life.
Does he have that kind of power?
I didn't know that.
I mean, who could do that?
Wow.
I don't understand how that happened.
That white boy is crazy.
He suggests that Facebook took corporate Popeye's side. The company released a statement saying in part, quote, Mac2 Incorporated is very sorry that the incident occurred and for any pain or embarrassment that Mr. Bice experienced. The company does not condone the behavior of one of our associates, and we took corrective action as soon as we were made aware of the incident.
I hope they took the employee into the back room and said, look, this is going to be a firestorm, but seriously, good job. Gives a little bonus. I mean, honestly, come on.
What kind of action do you take? Is it like a sensitivity training or something like that?
No, I'm guessing firing.
No.
I'm guessing.
But for the emotional Bice, distraught over his harrowing experience, he says the issue of racism in America runs deeper than just one incident.
The fact that I've got to sit on TV.
All right.
Is he crying?
Is he crying?
Wait.
Yep.
He's crying?
Yes. He is crying. And the reason is because he really wants to start an open dialogue about racism.
Sure.
And this is how he's doing
it. This is the way.
Right. So he starts crying and saying, the fact that I have to go to these lengths to get people's attention so we can talk about it.
The fact that I've got to sit on TV. And come down a notch. And look like...
Now, why do you think he said come down a notch? What does that mean?
Let me hear it again.
Sit on TV, okay.
And come down a notch. Boy, you got, I don't know what he means there.
That's pretty weird. Like it's demeaning to him to have to go on TV.
Maybe.
Because he's above that?
Maybe.
And is he above that?
He sang on TV one time.
The fact that I've got to sit on TV and come down a notch and look like a petty little brat. By tweeting and Facebooking this.
You are a petty little brat, by the way. That's pretty much dead on.
Just to open up dialogue so we can have an adult conversation is ridiculous. In America, you should be ashamed.
For FoxNews.com, I'm Rob Demetrius.
The words harrowing
and
traumatic were used in that news story.
Yes.
He's just lucky to still be alive, you guys.
You're right.
What pain he must be having even right now.
Bless up, Bill Bice.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:51.
Thursday morning, Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Speaking of show business, Hollywood Babylon returns this week for the first time in 2017 on stage at the Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith, myself, we have a pretty good time. Come on out 10 p.m. tomorrow night. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets. Love to have you join us. Unlike the Kevin and Bean Show, we don't go around talking about these hoax videos. Ugh, you guys with your lies and your hoaxes.
What's going on? Which one?
This viral toddler hoax video.
No.
It's a hoax?
Did he not save his little brother's life by picking up that
dresser?
Have you seen
this new backlash on the internet claiming that the video is all a hoax?
Bodie and Brock.
Is it led by Ally McKay, who doesn't believe anything?
It's a conspiracy girl herself. Come on, people. Nothing in drawers, writes one commentator.
I did think that was weird.
Oh, but for God's sake.
Don't you think even if it had no clothes, it would be too heavy to move?
He might be getting to it, so I'll leave it.
All right.
But go ahead.
Dad works for a nanny cam company.
Oh, shush.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I did notice that the mom said when she woke up and looked at the nanny cam, that's when she determined it happened. What two-year-olds are just sleeping all willy-nilly and then able to play in other rooms? Aren't they in cribs at two?
Not necessarily, no.
Really?
It looked like a bed in the bedroom.
Not
there.
Two, I don't think so.
Oh. I don't know, kids.
Well, Ben, thanks for your input.
I just think it's weird that the mom didn't hear anything.
Obviously fake, says another commenter. Your kids should be taken away for using them as a publicity stunt.
No.
Hoax, screamed another. No one's really sure how they... There's no edits in the video, and no one's really sure. Unless they just put their kids in harm's way for the hell of it. No one can really figure out how exactly it could be a hoax, but just goes to show you that nobody believes anything on the internet.
Well, he
anymore.
Does work for a nanny cam,
and they didn't show. Yeah, I mean, they didn't show the dresser falling over either. The video.
Yeah,
yes, they do.
Oh,
yeah.
The video that I saw just started with the kid already under the
kids climb up on the drawers. They pull the drawers out, climb up, and the thing tips over and almost crushes.
Oh, I'm sorry,
one of the kids.
That wasn't on the CNN one.
Why were they empty, Ralph? Why were those?
Maybe it was a new dresser.
So we got the kid. We got the girl who knows nothing about kids, and the guy who didn't see the whole video.
Right.
They're the ones chiming in with the facts on the story. Talk about your fake news, right? Trump's right. I don't trust the media anymore. These people. Anyway,
It
made me laugh when
Sounds
I saw
racist.
these people.
Hey, careful, white boy.
Claiming it was a hoax because how would you fake it? Unless you're saying, all right, the kid might get crushed, but it's going to be worth it because we'll sell a nanny cam. I don't think anybody's doing that.
Are we sure they're kids? Maybe a thyroid problem.
They're midgets?
Interesting.
Uh-huh. Don't you think? Anyway.
Brad Williams would know. Let's get him on the phone.
Hey, good news. All charges have been dropped against Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Yeah!
Wait, what?
Jimmy Superfly Snuka!
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't...
But what did he...
I don't know that name.
You don't know Jimmy Superfly Snuka?
Come on.
No. I should give you the atomic knee drop right now.
Yeah, you should.
I've never watched WWE.
But, Jim, it's like up there with Hulk Hogan.
He's a legend.
You should know that name.
All right.
You should know it.
He's a legend, Kevin.
Okay.
Come on, Kevin.
The dresser would fall on you.
Two of them.
I wouldn't pick it up either.
Full drawers.
Why don't you continue? It's all good.
All the charges have been dropped.
What charges?
He was charged with third-degree murder and involuntary manslaughter in the death of his girlfriend, Nancy, in 1983. You remember when they reopened this case recently?
No.
Yeah. Anyway, insufficient evidence. So apparently he is off the hook just in time for Trump to put him on the cabinet. Yeah. I think that's probably how it's going to end up. I'm just guessing.
I heard the reason was he was super, super, super sick.
He does have dementia and chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is brain trauma from all his years in wrestling. But not only incompetent to stand trial, but also based on the flimsy evidence they have there in Pennsylvania, apparently they're just dropping all the charges.
Well, I think based on that medical report, he may end up on Trump's cabinet.
And today's the day that they're going to lay to rest Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds. There's going to be a funeral at a private service in Burbank, and the two of them get a send-off from their family and close personal friends, which is really touching that the two of them are going to be laid to rest together. And as I mentioned earlier today, the family has announced they are going to do a larger public memorial at some point. Details still forthcoming, but it's going to be quite the event. Mark Hamill apparently will be speaking, Meryl Streep, and yeah. So, and by the way, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but HBO has doing their documentary on the relationship between Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher, in a documentary called Bright Lights that will be premiering.
They move quick.
Well, actually, this has been in the works since 2014, and it was supposed to be airing in March, but they pushed up the release date, as you can imagine, as a tribute to the two actresses. It premieres on January 7th at 8 p.m. on HBO. It's called Bright Lights, starring Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher. It was shot throughout 2014 and 2015 regarding their relationship, and the trailer first dropped yesterday. We got our chance to see a little bit of it. Here's a little taste from the trailer of Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds in Bright Lights.
That's it. That's all.
Okay, look.
Turn around this way because your rear end is to the camera.
I'm my mom's best friend.
I share everything with my daughter.
That's right.
Especially the check.
Far more than I ever would want to. I know what my mother feels and wants.
Now, just do what your mother says. It makes life easier.
As if.
There's a lot of it.
Two of them have quite a relationship. So that'll be on the 7th, which is
Saturday.
Saturday night, yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Robert Duvall is 86 years old today. Actress Diane Keaton is 71. Vinnie Jones turns 52. Marilyn Manson is 48 years old. Bradley Cooper. Philly in the house! Right? You don't know, man.
Sure.
He's 42 years old. January Jones is 39. Where's January Jones these days?
She is on that show with what's-his-face.
Oh, okay. Oh, I gotta tune that in.
Last Man Standing. Is that what it's called? The one about the
Will Forte?
Will Forte's show, being the last guy on Earth. She's one of the stars of that.
Yeah.
Last Man on Earth.
Last Man on Earth. Thank you.
Last Man Standing is Tim Allen.
Yeah,
so Tim Allen's the last man on Earth.
No. Last Man on Earth, Will Forte. That's where January Jones
is. Which is weird.
I never saw it dip over, so he can't build furniture.
Good point.
And Deadmau5. I don't know who this Deadmau5 is.
It's just Deadmau5.
No, I'm looking at it right here.
I know, but he goes by Deadmau5.
Here it says Deadmau5.
I know it's spelled, but he just...
Well, if it's spelled this way, then it should be pronounced Deadmau5.
Deadmau5.
But why? How would you say that when there's a 5 at the end of it?
He's being creative. I don't know. But it's just Deadmau5.
He's being a douchebag.
Okay.
Use an S. If you want an S, use a 5 if you want a 5. Why not? This is America. He's 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This hour, by the way, we're going to hook you up with tickets on board the party bus for K-Rock Ditch Day at Mountain High. The numbers of feet of snow that are predicted for the next couple of weeks in Southern California mountains are insane, right?
Yep.
You can ride up to K-Rock up the mountain and get lift tickets for the day coming up on Friday, January 20th. Your chance to win this hour. Go to K-Rock.com for more information and another chance to win as well.
Bead, what's your beef with the leaf blowers?
Well, first of all, they should be illegal. They're awful and pointless and nothing.
They're not pointless.
They're pointless.
No, they take the dirt and the leaves that are on your property and they spray them onto somebody else's property.
Right.
That's a purpose.
It is.
Now the dirt and the leaves are not on your property.
And I don't understand. Look, I understand. I know that a lot of communities in Southern California have already banned at least gas-powered leaf blowers. There are two kinds, right? There's gas-powered one. There's the electric ones. And lots of, including the city of Los Angeles, by the way, has banned gasoline-powered leaf blowers. They just are. They're the noisiest thing that will ever happen in your neighborhood, too. By the way,
they're noisy and they smell.
Yeah, and they
so you got that going for you.
And they pollute like crazy. There's no reason. It's the laziest, most worthless device of all time. And I'm telling you, when I'm running,
it's not worthless,
Bean. It's worthless
because you're accomplishing something that you need accomplished.
Blowing leaves from my yard into your yard.
Yes,
basically,
your yard is clean now. Congratulations.
I live in a neighborhood where there are multiple people doing multiple leaf blowing things on multiple days of the week. And
how many leaf blowing things are there?
Well, I mean,
don't you just blow stuff?
Yeah, but okay. I'm just saying, there's a lot of it. There's a lot of it happening, and I'm going to crack up, you guys. I'm getting to the breaking point every time one of those things fires up because for whatever reason, it seems like it takes an hour and it's 100 decibels, and they shouldn't be allowed. There's nothing else that I could do in this neighborhood that would be accepted or acceptable at that volume.
How many leaves are in your neighborhood?
I could
like, do that all the time.
Hell,
what
lot
is going on, dude?
I live in a very high Omar. I live in a very wooded neighborhood.
So weird.
Right? The forest in the middle of New Orleans.
Right.
No, but there are multiple houses that all have their own yards and their own trees and their own leaf blowers. But, I mean, think about it.
I feel like he's exaggerating.
I'm not exaggerating.
Do you have neighbors who use leaf blowers to blow their crap into your yard?
Into the sidewalk in front of my house? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So you need to get one yourself so that you can keep it going.
I don't even let...
Have you ever heard the phrase pay it forward?
Uh-huh. I have.
That's what you do. Is you get something and then you go, oh, this is a gift, and then you re-gift it to someone else. Yep.
I don't allow my land, and I have a very small yard, but I do have a team that comes out every couple of weeks to fix it up and mow it and rake and all that. And I don't allow them to use a leaf blower. I told them it's a no leaf blower house, and I'm serious about that. Don't use it.
Did they even believe you at first?
No, they did. They did. But could I go out onto the street with a boombox and play music for 30 minutes as loud as a leaf blower and get away with it? Or would I be ridden out of town?
Are you in Compton? Hells yeah, you can.
They never would allow it. I'm saying
would it be in your eyes? Because yes, all day.
Would it be
in the 1940s? Because they're not going to run you out of town.
there's no other thing that you can do as a neighbor that is as loud and as obnoxious as a leaf blower and get away with it.
I think that's why I like it, is because it's the 1-2 punch of obnoxious and loud and smell.
I mean, it really is it's a giant middle finger to anyone who lives in your neighborhood.
Yes.
And tell me how it's allowed. Tell me how it's acceptable.
It makes me laugh.
But seriously.
Omar, how do you do it? Omar has a leaf blower himself.
I have a pretty good one. And
you're a guy with a leaf blower.
Oh,
God
totally.
Damn you to hell.
Totally. Yeah, for sure.
And you don't feel the least bit bad about it when you fire that thing up?
Hell no. Why? I mean, I'm only running it for maybe, I don't know, 10 minutes at a time. Not even 10 minutes, 5 minutes, because it gets the work done so quickly. And that's one of the reasons I bought it. I bought it because, well, first of all, during the summer, I have a lot of people over, and I would have to hose down my deck.
Right.
This way, I just blow it out. I conserve water. I get all the dust off of my deck, all the leaves.
Ooh, see how he said conserve water in there?
Yeah, that's right. Nice.
And during the fall, I have I have a couple of trees, and I blow all the leaves into this corner of my yard, and it's easier to pick up. And the best thing,
but you pick it up.
But I pick it up. Okay. Right. And the
and
best
you couldn't
thing,
use a rake for any of that.
But it saves me a lot of time.
Uh-huh.
I'm not rich like you. I don't have gardeners doing all my stuff.
Why does it make you so bad? Is it the noise and the time of day being?
Yes.
Why does it make you so angry?
Yes, it's the noise and the time of day. Oh. Yes.
I feel like Omar's leaving something out.
Oh, yeah.
You think there's more to his story?
I do. It's not about easiness and getting it to a corner.
So
I have
a neighbor that I hate.
Okay, here we go.
He has a tree on his property.
Okay.
But the leaves hang over to my yard.
Sure.
And, man, this thing just drops so many leaves.
Uh-huh.
So during the day when, you know, nobody's around, I'll get the leaf blower out. And within, like, a minute, I'll blow all the leaves that are in my yard onto his driveway and yard.
You're the worst.
There you go.
You are the worst.
Yeah.
There you go. Because he sucks. Now,
the guy blows.
Do you do that to your other neighbor?
No way. I love my other neighbor. I pick it up. Yeah. I love my other neighbor. My other neighbor's awesome. Yeah, he's the best.
So don't get on the wrong side of DJ.
Right.
That's what we've learned. All right. So what's the neighbor say, by the way? The neighbor is aware that you're doing this, I assume, right?
Hasn't said anything yet. I'll kick his ass. Let's face it.
Wow, he's looking for a fight.
Very concerning.
Is Omar the only one who has a war going on over a leaf blower? I am curious. I can't be the only person who is so upset by these infernal machines, can I?
I mean, you're
infernal.
The level of anger that you have does not make any sense to me.
Because they should be outlawed. That's why.
I hear you saying
I mean,
that.
I've said, like, on a Saturday, oh, that's loud. And then about my day.
But also, it's around for maybe 20 minutes and then done, right?
Yeah.
It's not like all day, every day. I need to visit Bean's neighborhood.
It's a forest. It is a straight up forest.
I don't know what's going on up there, Bean.
24/7.
There's a lot of small houses on the street, each of whom has their own. There it is now.
Bean. Oh, no.
There it is now. Each of whom apparently has their own time of day that they want to leaf blow. But Omar can't. Okay. All right. Stop it. Oh. They're taking care of you, Bean.
Oh, on, Kevin.
Oh. There must be somebody besides Omar who's involved in a leaf blower fight, and that's the first thing we want to hear from. If you've got a dispute going on with the neighbors, if you've ever gone out there,
hang on, I'm using the leaf blower.
I know that. Back away, please. Is that possible? If you've ever had a conversation with the neighbor where you
asked him, I can't hear you.
We're looking for callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. Your leaf blower fight is what we want to hear about.
What?
If it's happened to you like it's happened to Omar's neighbor, give us a call. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
What?
Leaf blowers are the worst is the theme of today's program. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have been involved with disputes with your neighbors over leaf blowers.
Which are great.
Also known as Satan's hair dryers. Listen to this email, by the way. This is from Earl, who writes in. My family company manufactures and distributes gas-powered lawn equipment, including leaf blowers. My father introduced the concept of the gas-powered backpack blower to the U.S. market in the 1970s.
How about
Dude,
that?
They're awesome. Loaded.
Death penalty. Loaded. Death
what?
Penalty.
What's up, Earl?
Sorry, Earl.
Call me.
Its use and popularity exploded in the drought years of the mid-1970s. So there, now at least we have a name. Now we at least have a face to put on this tragedy that is the leaf blower. All right, we're
easy.
Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Art. He's in Montclair. Let's find out what's going on with him and his neighborhood.
All right. Hold on. Went to the wrong line. Let's go to Art. Hi.
Hey, good morning, guys. How
good
you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, so I got a neighbor in the back who just happens to hate us with a passion. It must be because we're always a typical Mexican family, very loud.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to buy a leaf blower and blow all our dirt over to his house. We make sure that bright and early on Saturday morning, we're out there clean the patio, even if we're not having a party or gathering. We're still out there just blowing.
So you got the leaf blower exclusively for revenge.
Exactly. That's
wow.
Why we did it.
Art.
It's really more
of a weapon than it is a tool for you.
For us, yes, it is. The wife even gets into it and goes out there and makes sure she's blowing the dirt and the leaf off of our yard.
All right, Art. Keep doing what you're doing, I guess. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Chris. He's in Sherman Oaks. He's up next on line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. I'm with Bean here. Leaf blowers are the absolute worst.
Because?
I live in an apartment building, and we have a 2-year-old son, and it pretty much goes without saying that every time it's nap time, it's also leaf blowing time.
Ah, mm-hmm. Yeah, look, there's no convenient or right time to leaf blow in a neighborhood. You're always going to be disturbing somebody, even if they're just trying to sit on a couch and read a book or watch TV or, you know, play with their kids or be on a computer, whatever they want to do. It's always going to be annoying, day or night, no matter what time you're doing it.
Day or night. And then it's not just leaf blowing in the hallway. They say, let's go down to the garage. Let's leaf blow all the cars. Anyone that has a clean car.
Yeah.
What
the hell's going
Where
on with your
kids? What's happening?
The hell's
there?
Going on with your guy?
All right.
Maybe he lives up there with Bean.
I'm going in the house now. Let's leaf blow the house.
Yeah, I got to leaf blow the toilet.
What do you got upstairs?
I'm going to need you to get out of this hallway. We're coming through the leaf blower. All right. Dare we go to Nick, South Pasadena, line one, see what he's got to offer here?
I mean, we could try it. Yeah. Hey, Nick.
Yeah. So, got this common fence with a neighbor, and they're like being they got a crew, or you know, and they come out, and you know, his yard is immaculate and perfect, but under the fence on my side, they'll like have their detritus and their crap, and they don't care. They blow it. I don't think it's intentional. It's just kind of like, you know, like they have a line and it goes over to my side. So, you know, I'm totally against leaf blowers and stuff too. So I don't have one. So I rented one. And I have a big 19-foot ladder. And you think about it, they're not called fallen leaf blowers. They're called leaf blowers. Leaves are on trees. So I took my 19-foot ladder. I went up to his tree that was about, you know, half the leaves were still on there. And I blew every mother effing leaf off that guy's tree onto his property.
I got to say, I applaud that.
Came home,
that's pretty good.
This guy came home with, like, a carpet full of fallen leaves and a tree that literally did not have one leaf on it.
And a neighbor that he will never mess with again. Am I right?
Yeah, because I can rent all kinds of stuff.
That is, I have to give you some points for creativity there, Nick. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Moses, you hang on. We're going to get to you last in Pomona, and I do want to hear from you because you are a gardener and you want to defend the leaf blower, and that's fine, too. Let's try Catherine, though, Seal Beach Line 4. She's in a lawsuit surrounded with a leaf blower. What's going on, Catherine?
So we share a fence with our neighbor in our backyard, and when we first moved in, we rolled in sod because it's dirt. So it's a few thousand bucks, and his leaf or his tree hangs over our backyard, and it killed a massive patch of our grass.
Right.
So we went to cut it, and now there's a big lawsuit over it because he says we're not allowed to touch his tree. So every Saturday and Sunday at 6:30, he wakes up with his stupid leaf blower and blows leaves from his tree onto our yard.
So hold on a second. So his tree is leaning over your fence so that it's naturally dropping leaves on your grass. And then he adds the leaf blower so that his go on your lawn, yes. Right?
And his excuse was that he has a big pool in his backyard, so he can't have leaves in his pool. So it obviously belongs in my yard, not his yard.
I have a friend named Nick who I want you to get in touch with, who's got a ladder and a leaf blower, and he's going to hook you up.
I like that Omar is shaking his head, mad at that neighbor. Yeah. You're that neighbor.
No, I'm not.
You do that.
No.
You blow leaves onto his yard.
No. She said, no, what Omar does is blow the guy's tree that is on Omar's side, those leaves that drop, he's blowing them back over.
Those are his leaves.
This guy, in Catherine's case, is behind her, and he blows the leaves that are on his side of the fence over, as well as the ones.
He tried to cut his tree. Right. Yeah, so now he blows it. So like I said, every Saturday and Sunday at 6:30, he wakes up. And for me, it isn't early, but for the rest of my family, it is. And he just blows over. So I'm just waiting until summertime when I can drop all the leaves in his pool.
So is there really a lawsuit happening? Are you guys suing each other?
No, yeah, he's suing us because we tried to cut his tree, but his tree hangs in our yard, so it's on our property.
Well, you're gonna lose that lawsuit, by the way.
No,
I'm sorry to say,
Catherine. You should go take a poop in his pool.
I don't think that's what I'm recommending.
That's not either. But Omar and I will show up with ski masks if you need, and somehow that tree will get cut.
Yeah. All right, thank you, Catherine. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate the call. Let's give Moses the final word. He's in Pomona. He's been patiently hanging on. He is a gardener. So you're a bad, bad man, Moses.
Well, you know, it's weird. I'm like, my beef's not really so much with the blower thing, but the city of Santa Monica, man, because I work in Santa Monica. They don't let us use blowers at all. It totally sucks. There's properties that we have that are pretty big. And
I got to move to Santa Monica now. That sounds like the dream answer for me, is to get away from these leaf blowers.
Exactly. You know, they don't even let us use the battery-powered ones. And, you know, like, I try to be really considerate. You know, we don't start before 8 o'clock, you know. We're pretty clean, but they're totally necessary, man. So a lot of people hate them.
They're totally necessary. Noisy. Why? Because so you can get to as many houses as possible.
Well, some guys like to do that. We don't like to do too many houses. We try to do no more than like 7 a day.
Right.
You know, we don't want to kill ourselves out there. But it just makes the job a lot easier. I mean, there are times where we use brooms and stuff, and wherever we have to, you know, I mean.
It may make the job easier. I'm not disputing that. Of course it makes the job easier for you. But what about the fallout for everybody else that's not you?
Collateral damage, I guess. You know,
that's
right?
What I'm saying is collateral damage. What about those people?
Yeah, no, we care about those people. It's just like I said, that, you know, there's some that are quieter, but there's really no way around it, man. I mean, they have to, it's a tool like anything else. It's a chainsaw. You know, we have to use them, and it's unfortunate that, you know, that. There's a lot of people that do hate them. It totally sucks.
It's unfortunate that they found someone who's willing to use one. That's what's unfortunate. Get a goddamn rake and shut up, Moses.
I'm just saying there's a reason they're getting rid of this stuff. That's my point.
I'm just saying
for a reason.
Sad that I didn't get a chance to visit it before it closed down. Hey, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock, minutes away from our friend Jim Rome talking sports. The thing Kevin is referring to is I've been working out my my travel schedule here for the beginning of the year, and it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to make it to Gettysburg, where I hoped to be a week from Saturday for the auction there at the Gettysburg Wax Museum. They're auctioning off their collection of U.S. presidents.
Yeah. That sounds terrible.
For 60 years, since 1957, this museum has been open. The Hall of Presidents and First Ladies Museum in Gettysburg, and they finally closed down, and they're going to be selling off their collection of wax figures at a public auction. I plan to still try to participate in the auction.
hopefully via, you know, via the phone or the internet, and be able to buy myself a president, but I'm not going to be able to be there in person. I'm kind of bummed out about it.
So, Bean, if it's 60 years this place was open, you've got to think those wax figures are the jankiest wax figures ever made.
I don't even like the ones that they make today.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Think about the ones today.
1957.
Bean.
You're saying the technology wasn't, they weren't photorealistic.
It's just going to be a lump of wax. That's it.
First of all, you don't have any idea how awesome this museum is. Here's a little bit of the intro video from Al, I guess, who runs the place there in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, telling us all about the Hall of Presidents.
Hi, my name is Al, and I'm the manager of the Hall of Presidents here in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
By the way, what a terrible job. Can you imagine getting up and going there every day?
Oh. I would love it.
Ugh.
I'd like to welcome you to the museum. As you tour the museum, we go through five rooms that represent the presidents. Lights will go on as each one of them speaks as you move through the five rooms. The tour through the presidents will take about 45 to 50 minutes. And then you'll come back out here to the gift shop, go through the doorway at the far end, and that will take you into the area where the first ladies are in their inaugural gowns. That part of the museum is self-guided, so take as little or as much time as you'd like. And if any of you have a camera with you, feel free to take pictures anywhere in the museum. Enjoy the trip.
Tissues available.
What is required of us now is a new era of...
I'm not sure what that is. Oh, is that one of the...
That's Barack welcoming you.
Oh,
yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
I got it. To the actual museum.
Yes.
Okay. I got you. Do I continue playing or
no,
do we want
sure,
to...
Sure, it's almost over.
Okay.
Okay,
it's...
sure.
What is required of us now is a new era of responsibility. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America.
Hopefully I'll get to see you real soon here in Gettysburg when you come to visit the presidents and first ladies.
I was hoping so, too. But unfortunately, as I mentioned, the museum is now closed and they are auctioning off its contents. And Al, the manager of the Hall of Presidents and First Ladies Museum in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, joins us on Q-Rock right now. Hello, sir.
Hi, this is Al.
Hi, Al.
Hi, Al. Yeah. Al, I'm so sad that your museum has closed down. How are you feeling about it?
We're really sad, too, that the museum is no longer going to be open.
Right.
Now, you said it's
been open for 60 years.
60 years, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Hall of Presidents and First Ladies Museum of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania has been open to the public. Come on down to see the president.
Al, you've had more than a million visitors since you opened. Why are you
open for 60 years.
60 right. years, I know. But why have you decided...
We've had over dozens of visitors.
Right, no, over a million. But why have you decided to close down the Hall of Presidents?
We're not getting as many visitors as we used to.
I see. Okay. All right. So
I haven't had a visitor in about 18 years.
Oh.
And it gets expensive because there are five different rooms where the presidents are located.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if you go into those rooms, a light will go on.
Right.
You see the electricity bill.
You mentioned that in the video, right.
It doesn't grow on trees.
No, it doesn't. So listen, so this, I'm not going to be able to make it in person. I'm sorry. I tried to work it out.
I knew that because these... wax figures of the presidents are very impressive to see in person.
I'm sure they are, but I'm not going to be able to be there in person. But I want to make sure, is it possible that I can still bid on a president via the internet or on the phone come a week from Saturday?
Absolutely.
You would have to go with Barack Obama because it's probably the best.
The most realistic.
Yeah, the most realistic wax figure.
All of our wax figures are very realistic.
Really? Even the ones in the 1950s?
They have very... They have a lot of in common with the actual presidents themselves. If you were to bid, for example, on Chester A. Arthur, you would get a sense of his fashion. He was known as Elegant Arthur because of his excellent taste in clothes.
Well, I wasn't planning on buying Chester A. Arthur, but you may have turned me around on that.
You might be interested in Franklin Pierce. Franklin Pierce was the first president to have a Christmas tree in the White House.
Oh.
And so this figure comes with a small Christmas tree.
Oh, that's lovely.
Oh, that's for Dean, right?
Perfect for me.
Right?
All right, Franklin Pierce then.
Also, you may be interested to know that Rutherford B. Hayes had no liquor whatsoever in the White House.
Yes, dry White House.
His wife did not want any liquor in the White House, and so she became known as Lemonade Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
Bean says,
yeah,
maybe Hayes. I guess maybe Hayes. Well, now you're making the choice very difficult for me, Al.
George Washington only had one tooth.
Yeah.
Only one tooth?
Yeah, at various times. He wore dentures made of human teeth, animal teeth, ivory, or even lead, but never wood.
That was a big hoax. Everyone thought it was wood forever, right?
It was just some of the things you used to be able to learn here at the museum.
Well, not this anymore.
It sounds
this
so sad.
Is, it is kind of sad, Al.
The auction will be held on Sunday, January 8th from noon to 5 p.m. I hope everybody will bid on some of these figures.
Okay, yeah, yeah, I definitely will be doing that. And I'm. What are you going to do, Al? What happens to you now? Now that the museum's closed down,
I'm just going to. I have a shopping cart.
That's quite a plan.
Somebody's got to do it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51.
Jim Rome on sports, and then our friend Adam Ray, comedian, actor from Ghostbusters and other things, going to be joining us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and Dr. Drew just after 9 as well. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, boys and girls, children of all ages. I want to extend an invitation tomorrow night to everyone come out to the Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I taken to the stage for the first time in 2017 with a brand new Hollywood Babylon episode. Love to have you come join us. We have such a good time. Kevin drinks a lot of milk. And,
that sounds great.
Yeah, it does. And I drink a lot of Jack Daniels. And
Kevin smokes a bit, though, huh?
Oh.
Just a bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hollywood Babylon.
Thank you, Rodney. Someone appreciates it around here. Go to improv.com to get your tickets for tomorrow night's show at 10 p.m. We're going to have fun.
Is Rodney the one who usually starts getting everybody off there? Come on, everybody, get up. It's like this Ralph Garman. He's the hype man.
Yeah, he's our hype man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty sweet.
Oh, he works the crowd.
That's pretty
it's
sweet.
Amazing. He's our warm-up comic. He's a guy, you know, like when they film the sitcoms, they got the guy who works the audience mm-hmm. and hands out candy and
sure.
gets interesting stories.
Gets them all excited.
Setups. That's what he does. He's got a gift. Hey, Allie, I'd be interested to know, because you're the conspiracy theorist.
I mean,
you're the one who gets to the bottom of the stories.
I do. Thank you.
You see beyond the illusion, beyond the mirage, and you get to the meat.
Thank you.
If you will.
I appreciate it.
Like you did, remember how Taylor Swift wasn't really dating Tom Hiddleston?
Mm-mm.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And you ripped the cover off of that story.
Sure did.
Remember that music video that they were filming that came out?
Well, we haven't seen it yet. No. It's a long form.
It's a long con.
Uh-huh.
Those two had going.
Uh-huh.
What about Drake and Jennifer Lopez? Are they for real?
No.
What?
Come on.
Proof, they say, is swirling around the relationship.
No. But they're doing music together, and
have
this is all to hype it up.
Have you seen them do their dirty dancing?
Please.
Us Weekly magazine has sources saying they've gotten very close,
mm-hmm.
very fast,
mm-hmm.
and Jennifer gets genuinely excited to see him
mm-hmm.
when they get together.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's true they are working together on some music, but that, friends say, was just the introduction, and the two have now really sparked. And they've got a lot in common,
mm.
and they really enjoy their relationship, and they're moving very quickly. No, you're just shaking your head.
Mm-mm.
Nothing?
No.
I'm surprised because Drake seems like such a busy guy. He's got a lot going on. He's an actor. He's a musician. He's a singer. He's a producer.
Sports fan. He seems
sports fan.
All the time.
Exactly.
All the time.
His schedule
all different
must be
teams.
Packed.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, where's a guy like him even have time for a relationship? How does he fit in a social life given his very, very busy professional and social schedule?
That's a good question.
And I'm thinking the guy, you know, he's got a lot going on. He's got a lot of fans and stuff and everything.
Right.
That must take up an enormous amount of time
uh-huh.
for him on a daily basis, day in, day out.
Right.
Yep.
I think every hour would just be filled with obligations and appointments. And
how does he do it?
Well, I'm thinking, how does a guy like him shoehorn in interpersonal relationships? It must be impossible. But then I realized there's always room for J-Lo. Yeah, right?
That feel good?
Happy 2017, everybody.
It felt longer than
that. He's down on the phone.
Down on the phone. Speaking of 2017, did you guys get your new Kylie Jenner 2017 calendar? Get your new Kylie Jenner.
I did not.
It's backordered
back
for me.
It'll be arriving soon. She had a team put together a Kylie Jenner catalog.
Mm-hmm.
All photos of Kylie every month. You get a brand new photo of Kylie. My favorite part of the catalog, the calendar, is even August. They've got her birthday there, August 20th, on her birthday. Here's the thing. Actual birthday, August 10th.
What?
There's a typo in the Kylie Jenner
calendar.
That's funny.
And that typo is when Kylie Jenner's birthday is.
That's funny.
That's funny, right?
Yep. That's hilarious.
That is hilarious.
It does seem like out of all the calendars in the world, that's the one that should have gotten
it. Right. If it put Christmas down as December 23rd, you could sort of see how that could happen. But how do you get the focus of the calendar? How do you get her birthday wrong?
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Did you guys see any information about her store in the malls over the holidays?
No.
Because I was in the Topanga Mall, and there's a store called Kylie. And it's like, I guess it has all of her makeup.
Oh.
And there was a long line out of the store with those ropes to keep them in line.
Sure.
And it went all the way to the corner. And I thought, there's probably 40 people in that line. And then I turned the corner, and there was another continuous line where it went back. I'll bet there were 120 people.
It lined up to get into the store.
Yes. Just to get into her makeup store.
It's an actual store.
Yes, it was in Topanga Mall, yeah.
I wonder if it's just a pop-up store for the holidays.
Yeah, I don't
or
know.
If it's a permanent... I don't know why I wonder it. Who cares? But
well, part of the line is because when you go in, they have a treatment where they stick a vacuum cleaner under your face.
Right.
And they suck your lip. And that takes a while.
I guess that's worth waiting for.
It gets a little sluggish in the line because you... Next! And then they put the in the lip
line. The line,
was not
flying either. It was a pretty slow line.
Dave weighs in that her lipstick is very popular.
Oh,
apparently.
The lip kits. Yeah, they sell out all the time online. So that's why I was shocked that they're... How
Does
long
come
did
with
you
syringes?
Wait?
I mean, 2.5 hours,
okay.
But, you know, it's worth
what?
It.
What? You were in line?
He did say it was moving slow.
And look at his lips, though. Wasn't it worth it?
Right?
They're luscious.
It was worth it. How's Mariah Carey getting over her New Year's Eve debacle? That's a great word, isn't it? Debacle?
Sure.
Well, I think we know how she's finding a way to soothe her hurt feelings.
Alcohol?
No.
Oh.
She was seen at a marijuana dispensary in Aspen, apparently. And sources say she chose, her flavor was a variety called Amafu. Amafu.
Okay.
How much do you think you pay for a little mafu in Aspen at a dispensary there?
Yeah, I don't know. Aspen's super high,
right?
High price because
That's
of
what
the
I'm saying.
Area of the people.
Yes. This is like the wall. It takes a long time
right?
for you to figure out your answer.
Work it out.
You got to talk it out loud. You got to say a lot of things about it.
Right.
And then really bore everyone before you give your answer.
I don't know.
$400 an ounce.
Wow.
For a mafu.
Wow.
$400 an ounce.
I'm not even going to ask the question. Is there any way it's worth that? Is there any way it's
worth
that?
I guarantee you there is some weed in that dispensary that will do the same job for
right
a fourth of the price.
Yes.
Right?
That's insanity.
Right. Bean, what are you smoking these days? What strain are you smoking?
It's January for me, so I'm kind of staying away from all drugs and drinking for the month of January. I'm taking a little bit of a break after the holidays.
Oh, that's great. I'm in dryuary.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, I do drink at Babylon. I drink at Hollywood Babylon. I have a couple drinks on stage. But other than that, I'm not drinking.
Why?
Because I polluted myself so severely over the holidays that I genuinely just want to not feel like that for a while. I want to feel not just sloppy, hungover, drunk, all of those things that get involved with alcohol. I would like to not feel that.
Most of the time when you wake up and say, I'm not going to have a drink for a long time or I'll never drink again, most of the time that just does not come true.
Well, it evaporates when the weekend rolls around.
Right.
But it's not from being hungover, like, oh, I'm so hungover I can never drink it. It has nothing to do with that. Well, partially has to do with that. But even the feeling of being drunk or the bloat that comes with drinking and the water retention and sort of the sluggishness and not sleeping well, there's a whole litany of things that can go with just drinking every day for 2 weeks. And you say, okay, I'd rather not feel like that for a while.
Until February 1st.
And then, well, forget about it.
And it's on.
Me and the groundhog are going to get loaded. Is that Groundhog's Day in February?
That's the second, yeah.
So, well, Groundhog's Day Eve, then. That's when I fall off the wagon.
That's good enough reason to drink. It's a holiday, practically.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Robert Duvall is 86 years old today. Diane Keaton turned 71. Actor Vinnie Jones is 52. Marilyn Manson, who thinks I'm a cop, is 48 years old.
That was
old.
Funny.
Bradley Cooper's 42. January Jones is 39. And Deadmau5.
Deadmau5.
Just Deadmau5. Is 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
I feel like the show has just been limping along in this new year until this moment. Right now, we kick into high gear, ladies and gentlemen. Our friend Jim Rome, the host of the Jim Rome Show, is back on the air. You can listen to him from 9 till noon, West Coast at JimRome.com. And don't forget the great podcast, The Jim Rome's Daily Jungle, available through Play.it and iTunes. Mr. Rome, welcome back. Happy New Year, sir.
All right, so the show has been limping along, and now I'm here, so you guys should do the right thing, the humane thing. Take that thing out back and put it down. What's up? Happy New Year, everybody.
It's great to talk to you, Jim. There's so much great stuff going on in sports, and we have desperately missed your commentary. And I want to start, if you don't mind, could we just catch up on a little piece of old business that happened while we were off on our respective vacations, and that is your girl, Ronda Rousey. We all know what happened to her. It was not the comeback that she hoped for New Year's Eve. What's the future for Ronda? Is she going to hang it up, or does she? Because I feel like she's got a pretty long climb to come back at this point after the last two fights.
You know, I can get into this, but you mentioned the vacations. We are going to get into our vacations at some point, right?
Right.
Can we talk about that or no? Okay.
Sure.
You know, Ronda Rousey, a couple of things here. When we last saw Ronda Rousey, she was getting her face broken by Holly Holm, and it was shocking. So what happens? She goes away for more than a year. She's got lots of time to figure out what went wrong, make her adjustments, and improve. But then she comes back as the same exact fighter, fighting the same exact fight, only worse with the same exact result. She gets her face broken once again. So she didn't get any better, and the question now is, where does that leave her? Listen, I haven't spoken to her, and she's not talking, but it seems to me there are much easier, less painful, and embarrassing ways for somebody like Ronda to get paid. She's made millions of bucks inside the cage, outside the cage. I really do not see her coming back.
Why do you think she went to a completely different style? It used to be you can do whatever you want. You can be a great boxer or whatever, but I'm going to take you down and armbar you first before you can get off on me. And then she's the last two fights that she lost, she just stood in front of boxers.
Yeah,
why would she do that?
Give her credit for this, though. She did abuse Amanda Nunes' face with her fists. See what I did there? Anyway, I mean, you guys still on vacation? Hello, anybody home? Anybody? Heyo. No, it's a fair question. It's one thing if it happens once. It happened once and was one of the worst things ever. And she comes away for an entire year, and she comes back, and it happens again. The bottom line here is, though, the sport which she used to dominate ultimately blew right by her. Everybody saw the kind of money she was making, the kind of fame she had, the opportunities she had, and these athletes thought to themselves, I want that. I want what she has. So now you've got better athletes with much better skills. They come in, they commit, they improve, and Ronda just did not get any better. And she did what she always did, and it got her face broken again.
And that was such a surprise because of the radio silence we had from her for a year. I thought, man, she is so pissed and she is so focused and she is working so hard for redemption that could never happen again. That's why it was so shocking to me, I think.
Well, no, exactly. And we thought that she would come in, and what you want to do, one, you want to learn how to strike, and two, you want to learn how to defend the striking, and she did neither of those things. So if that's not what you do or where you live, you should do what you do best,
right?
Namely grapple, use your judo, and she didn't use any of that.
She didn't even try.
No. That's why it was worse than it was the first time. So I just think personally I can't get inside her head, but if I've got her money, I mean, that's a hard life. The fighter's life is a hard life, and it's not the way it used to be where she could run across the cage and rip somebody's arm off. I think that we're not going to see her fight again.
I think we'll see her fight, but in a very different ring.
Oh, really?
WWE?
Really?
Got to.
Come on. You think that's a huge step down for her, though?
No.
I think it's different. I mean, it's certainly different, but I think that, look, when she was living out of her car and had to do these things, it made a lot of sense, but she doesn't need to anymore. You know how many millions of dollars she made for that fight? She can essentially do what she wants, and she'd have to want to come back and make this right. A lot of people took a lot of runs at her, like she's overhyped, she's overrated, she's a fraud. I don't buy any of that.
Ronda
was awesome and had a great career, but it's probably time for the next thing.
All right. Listen to this, you guys. The Super Bowl, if I'm doing the math correctly, the Super Bowl is a month from today. It's almost here already as we head into the first weekend of the playoffs, Jim. How are you feeling about it? Who are you most worried about? What team would you most like to be a fan of right now heading into the playoffs?
Well, the Raiders. I'm all about the Raiders right now. And unfortunately, I mean, the good news is they're back in the playoffs for the first time in 14 years, which is awesome. But they're going with a quarterback that has never started an NFL game, which sucks. They're down to their third stringer, Connor Cook. I mean, this dream season, and they're down to a guy who's never even started a game. But they do have one thing going for them. The Texans have to play their starter, who is Brock Osweiler, who was statistically one of the worst in the game this year. A $72 million dude who was benched. So the Raiders, the dream season's dead. They're really not going anywhere. But if they could just somehow squeeze one game out of this. Like one Raider fan tweeted at me during the week, it doesn't matter who's starting. I will be grilling a T-bone and drinking champagne. Spoken as only Raider fan can. So that's my plan. I'm going to call it the upset. They're going to shock the world. And I, too, will be grilling a T-bone and throwing back champagne. Look at the Raiders.
I want your professional opinion on something that we got into a little bit with Allie earlier this week. And that is that she... Well, I'll let you put it into your own words, Allie. What's going on with you and your Pats?
I was asked, I think, 3 or 4 weeks ago by Dave. He goes, honestly, Allie, honest opinion. They win in the Super Bowl? And I said, no, they're not. And they were winning everything at that point, and they continued winning. I just don't feel like this is their year. I can't.
And then for the last 3 weeks, this conversation has continued, and we said... Allie,
but they won again.
We said, Allie, you're not a Browns fan. You're not a Cubs fan. You don't have the history of
There's
a team finding.
Something...
Even the Raiders used to find a way to lose, yeah. And their fans got used to it. But your team wins all the time.
There's something about this team that feels off to me, regardless. I think Gronk's gone. I think Garoppolo's gone. I think both those guys are gone.
Right.
And that upsets me. I'm already pre-sad about that.
Okay.
But that doesn't... Gronk being gone in the future doesn't have anything to do with now, though,
but
does
I
it?
Think Gronk was gone before he even got hurt. I just think there's a lot going on behind the scenes, and there's something wrong.
All right, I don't speak Allie, Jim. Translate
for me.
You
know what she said. What she said.
Really?
You guys had me at, well, Dave asked me a question. First of all, what are you doing answering Sanchez's questions?
Wait,
Sanchez still works there?
Good point.
Hey, Sanchez, have you renamed your dog yet?
No.
His dog still has a loser name.
Listen, it seemed like it was going to be the Patriots and everybody else, but I'm going to say right now it's wide open. They're still the team to beat, certainly in the AFC, probably in the NFL, but there are some dangerous teams. Remember, it's not always about the best team this time of year. It's about the hottest team. It's about the most dangerous team. And all of a sudden, I'm not going to say that Pittsburgh can beat New England or go to Foxborough, but Pittsburgh looks dangerous to me. So, Allie, you shouldn't be... jumping ship and
I'm not
turning
jumping
tail.
Ship. I
yes,
would,
you are, Allie.
No,
are. You
I would
are,
like
Allie.
To be wrong more
You're
than anything.
You're a Dallas
anything.
Cowboy fan now, Allie. You
I,
are.
Am not. I am not. I do. I, there's for some reason I really feel like it's the Packers' year. Is that crazy?
No, because they're red hot. They're the team
yes.
that you do
they're,
not want to run into right now.
Right now.
They are peaking.
There's
they are playing their best when it matters most. Aaron Rodgers said that they could run the table, and then he went out and they did, and he backed it up. You don't want to see them right about now.
All right. Listen, before we say goodbye and run out of time, Mr. Rome, how was your vacation? We haven't talked to you in a few weeks. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, I had a great time. Went to Jamaica, Mon.
Oh, Jamaica, Mon.
And the boys to Jamaica.
So much
smoke,
weed.
Smoke, 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 smoke.
Are you asking me if
smoke,
I did?
Smoke, 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 smoke. That's what you hear on the beach in Jamaica.
Are you asking me if I did?
I'm recreating everyone you met.
I'm here to be real.
Right?
I'm at a point in my life. I've reached a point in my life in my career where I can be real. And, I'm comfortable in my own skin.
And your answer
let's face
is?
It, the laws regarding the lettuce are changing.
Right.
The answer is Janet and I baked all week long. We torched the tank every night.
That's a vacation right there.
There you go.
No, we didn't. Do I look or sound like I bake? Come on.
You sound
do
like
I
you...
look or sound like I bake?
Well, you're allowed to on vacation.
You,
that's fine.
You look
I'm
or
cool
sound
it.
Like you should bake.
Yeah, right. I should. I agree with that.
Jim,
I look
are
and
you,
sound like both.
Here's my Jamaican question. Are you so sick of reggae music now? Do you never want to hear that beat again?
No, it's pretty good. It's pretty
it
good. I like that. I did smash numerous red stripes as I listened to the reggae. And got my dreads. So, yeah, I'm good. I'm relaxed. It's all good.
dreads now. That would be the best.
I need a
best.
Picture of you in dreads.
It would be the best. I'm rocking them right now. You can
no,
see them,
not.
Allie. Look at me. Look at me, Allie.
I can't
Come
look
on.
Away.
Give
you
my
go to jimrome.com.
Jim best Rome lettuce ever.
Jim Rome will tweet a picture of that, of his
sure,
hair.
Sure. I'd like to
wait
sure
to see it.
Will.
So go to his account.
All
9
Instagram
to noon
too.
To hear the show today. And if you miss it, please go to play.it or iTunes for the podcast, Jim Rome's Daily Jungle. It's great to have you back, sir. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for the time.
Bye, fam. Bye. See ya.
Look at this, you guys. Our chance to catch up with an old friend, our friend Adam Ray, back in studio.
Hey,
how are you, Adam?
Wonderful. How are you guys?
Great. Adam is in town at Brea Improv doing 6 big shows this weekend, actually starting tonight, right? Thursday night?
That's right.
And then 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday, and then Sunday, Brea Improv is brea.improv.com. Tickets available, just $20. Now, Adam, you have been very busy since the last time we spoke with you. Did you take any time off at all for Christmas holidays?
A little bit. I had I was on the road. After Mad TV finished, I went on the road for about 10 weeks, and then went home to Seattle for the holidays.
For how long?
For about 8 days.
Okay.
Which was like long. You know, I wanted to maybe go for like two or three, but like.
Were you going
to
say that was long enough?
Yeah, it kind of was. Like, I don't know. My mom and I got in a lot of arguments. One being about the pronunciation of Fanta or Fanta.
Oh, it's Fanta.
It's way Fanta, isn't it?
What? It's totally Fanta.
What? It's 100% Fanta.
It's Fanta.
It's Fanta.
It's Fanta, Whitey's.
Is it Fanta?
Thank you. Yeah, see, this is the exact... My mom was like... See, my mom goes, it's Fanta.
And oh, I go, no, mom, I don't want to be on your mom's side.
I go, yeah, Mom, it's Fanta. I go, don't you want a Fanta is the slogan. She goes, no, it's Fanta. Don't you want a Fanta.
Oh, she didn't and say
I go,
that.
She did say that. And I go, when you say it like that, you have to hear how wrong it is.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I was like...
But I've never seen that commercial for
I never
Fanta.
Have either.
I've only ever heard people
the
buy and sell
chicks,
Fanta
and they're like,
soda.
Don't you want a Fanta? Never heard it?
Well, no.
Yeah, I do. Now that you sing those, I do.
If
remember
you saw
that.
A holiday commercial with, like, a father and his son setting out snacks for Santa, right? And he's like, Timmy, do we got everything?
I think you mean Santa.
Do we got... Exactly, right? And he sets them out, and he's like, you got the cookies, you got the root beer, are we missing anything? And the kid was like, what about Fanta? Do you think Santa went to Fanta? Would you be like, oh, that sounds right.
No.
Thank you.
No,
exactly. Thanks,
ever
Lord.
Since I said Fanta, every word that you said makes me feel like I'm wrong. Yeah. You're right. It is.
We got into like a big thing. I mean, she
but
was
your
two,
mom wouldn't give in?
She was two or three whiskeys deep, and she's like,
why did this come up now?
Date,
wasn't
so.
Fanta last popular in the 1980s?
Being at the Ray household, we like to celebrate Hanukkah and talk about things that were popular in 1984.
Okay.
All right.
Let's just Slinkies, listen. Play-Doh.
Let's just listen to this for a second.
Fanta.
Fanta.
Fanta. I mean, it's...
I think that's just their accent for the song. I'm sticking with Fanta.
Please.
Okay.
Well, it sounded to me like Adam was telling us that it was already settled, that there is a right
well,
answer.
Well, no, I think we just opened up the book again on this
Here
debate.
We go.
Now I got to go right. back home and fist fight my mom again.
So you're in
Do you hear
Seattle...
that, 67-year-old Puddin' Ray? I'm going
to
rouse
Seattle
you.
For the holidays, and then you immediately go to Las Vegas, and you spend a week there?
A week
in... Isn't that too much time in Las Vegas?
Oh, it's way too long in Vegas.
3 days is my limit. Look, otherwise, I will die.
You will die. You don't realize that in the wintertime, all the windows are closed. There's no ventilation. You are breathing in every fart from around the world.
Yeah.
You are taking in coughs and, like, everything. It's also, I'm not a huge gambler. Like, a little bit of craps, maybe a little bit of
So
blackjack.
What do you do when you go to Vegas? Just drink?
I mean, yeah. I mean, my buddy, Sandy.
Dance till you die? One of those guys?
Pretty much just robot in the lobby until I'm asked to go back to my room. I went to the gym every day with my feet track, Sandy Danto, and there was a foot spa next door. So we went to the foot spa and got foot massages every day. That was pretty fun.
Wow.
Hmm. Wow. That's
hey, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right, fellas?
That's on day five, you don't go, wow, the foot massage, don't need it today.
That's a way different Vegas than I've ever had.
It was very different.
How does David Copperfield work into your week?
Copperfield, so we had a couple, we stayed a couple days to see some shows. We saw the Cirque du Soleil Ka show. Which I highly recommend okay. on an edible.
Sure.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
okay.
There's like there's people jumping on hoops. There's they're like swimming at one point.
I feel like that should be a category where you should be able to say on an edible because it's that type of movie
yeah.
or show or whatever.
Yeah,
that
you
should be a thing.
Yes,
okay.
It should be advertised. I also hit an Asian man with my hat who kept taking video of the performance,
which he's not supposed to do. But why did you care?
Because he was distracting the people in front and around me,
oh,
and
I
felt like I needed to step up.
You
I
hit him
like,
with a hat.
I was like, you know what? I had a little bit of edible confidence.
Sure.
And I was like, you know, feeling like a superhero.
Right.
And this guy kept holding it up. Like, we were like four or five rows back, and people kept like, every time you do it, it was like every 5 minutes people kept conversing and making a deal out of it. And then I was like, you know what? I had this just inner moment where I was like, this is your chance. Be a hero. What would Copperfield do? WWCD. And, you know, as I find out, Copperfield would probably, you know, perv out because that dude. Look, his tricks aren't that impressive.
So hold on. Did you get in a fight with that guy or no?
No, I just smacked him.
Just smacked him in the head. Then he stopped.
Yeah. And then also, at the same time, security came over with a flashlight.
Okay, all right. So then they show.
I'm banned from the MGM. So the show, Copperfield, look, he makes you believe, he takes tricks that you never would have thought were, like, incredible. And he makes you think they're incredible. A, because they kind of are, and B, he has this Copperfield stare that's the same
that's
stare
what
that
drives me crazy.
Yeah, it's a stare that you that he makes. Look, if you like blamed a fart on a fat kid in an elevator, this is the look you would give. The same look, you know, where he looks at you like, he popped a balloon inside of a smaller balloon inside of a box. And look, right. If I told you I was going to do that, you'd be like, I don't really care, man. That doesn't sound that impressive.
Yeah.
But when you put music behind it and fancy lights, and then you stare into your eyes like David Copperfield does,
right,
very pervy and seductively, sure, you're like, oh, that's the most incredible trick I've ever seen.
Here's the thing that I've learned about Copperfield, though, is that you go to one of his shows, and if you add up the time that he's posing and looking.
The show's 14 minutes.
I mean, tops. Literally, he does like three tricks. In an hour.
He made a rose disappear. He appeared in a car. The one when he,
if
like,
I'm in Vegas and I go to a Copperfield, I want him to do more than make a rose disappear.
Dude, I want him to bring back my dead grandma.
Something.
I want him to like reconcile my sixth grade relationship. I want him to tell me how it, if it's Fanta or Fanta.
So you,
he was okay.
Loved him?
And then, you know, I would recommend him only because of his, like, he made a lot of really off-color jokes.
On an edible?
No, I went sober on this one.
I know, but I'm asking you for
recommendations. I bet he's a little messed up, for sure. Oh, would you go to, yeah,
recommendations.
Copperfield. Yeah, okay. Definitely. I mean, I would put everything in my body before I go see Copperfield.
Okay.
except for, you know, Copperfield. But he...
He would take care of that.
Yeah, he would take care of that, man. He's very persuasive. That's the thing, that look, it's like... That's why I've heard he, like, takes some of these people he pulls out of the crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, they're never seen again.
I don't think. Well, they are probably in his hotel room.
No, that's an exaggeration. But he also has that island where people.
Yeah. Does he really?
In the Bahamas.
Where people were actually accusing him of rape. Right.
No.
The weird stuff went on that island. Is
allegedly.
Yeah.
Well,
allegedly.
In fairness, the island was called Rape Island, and that's
that's a totally different island.
are there really accusations?
There were. How long
ago was there some woman missing or something?
Yeah, it's been a few years.
It's been 8 years.
Copperfield, rule of thumb, you can't, like, don't allow that to happen if your go-to look is a rapey look during your shows.
Yeah. That is his go-to look.
Like, it's the same look that Waldo makes when you find Waldo. You know what I'm saying? That staring, like, Waldo always looks so suspicious. You're like, I don't think the question is, where's Waldo? I think it's, what did Waldo do that so many people are looking for him?
Adam Ray is here. You can see him on stage at the Brea Improv tonight at 8 o'clock. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Go to brea.improv.com. Tickets just $20. Much more with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Comedian, actor Adam Ray in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Frankly, with all the Ghostbusters revenue pouring in, I'm surprised to even you up at all this hour of the
day. It's amazing I'm even wearing clothes at this point, and wrapped in a Slimer onesie.
And you didn't have a team of supermodels carrying you in?
Oh my
well,
God.
We couldn't see that.
They're all sitting in the car, Copperfield style.
Adam is going to be at the Brea Improv tonight and tomorrow night.
I take that back. Too soon.
Saturday night and Sunday. Tickets available at brea.improv.com. Adam is also doing two high-quality podcasts.
Yeah,
one
baby.
Is about last night with our friend Brad Williams, and you also have a sports podcast with Josh Wolf,
who's
very funny, called Good Call, available on iTunes. Speaking of sports, you went to the Clippers game last night.
Yeah. My boy Adam Devine, who I'm about to go on another big theater tour on, which you guys should come to the show. We're hitting New Orleans.
Yes.
And
Bean is there.
Yeah. And we're ending L.A. At the Wiltern on March 4th. But that's February 11th through March 4th.
Oh, that's fun.
I think tickets are livenation.com. But Adam has season tickets to the Clippers, and he's filming right now, so he can't go a lot. So Brad and I went last night. And, you know, last time Brad and I sat courtside, we, you know, as we were walking over to the game, I was like, Brad, all right, a couple things we need to discuss, get on the same page. I was like, A, kiss cam. He's like, I'm in. I was like, great. tongue or no tongue? He's like, we'll feel it out. I was like, great. and then I was like, dance cam. We need to, like, are we going to have anything choreographed, or are we just going to, like, let our bodies do the talking?
You just step back in that case.
Yeah, you let your bodies do the talking, and that's exactly what happened, because people gave me so much crap, because Brad, you know, obviously just stood up and started to work at courtside, just as he does. And I was like, you know what? He's crushing it so hard right now. The stadium was going nuts.
Right.
Yeah, you can't compete with a little person when he can dance.
No, I was sitting behind him, like, filming and fist pumping.
You did the right thing.
Yeah, and I remember people asking me, they're like, why didn't you join in? I go, nobody goes, hey, who's that guy dancing behind the dancing midget? More midget is how you trump dancing midget. If there were more midgets that came out and start, you know. So again.
And he can really dance as well.
He can break it down.
Yeah.
To any genre. And so I'm like, all right, this is going to be great. And there were plenty of great songs. And, you know, the T-shirt cannons were happening. And I was like, Brad, I was like, is this a song? No. And then finally it was the authentic dance cam. And I go, Brad, I think you should get on my shoulders. And he goes, for real? He goes, you'll drop me. I go, I will not drop you. I got you. You're my best friend. Also, I can't have that on my conscience. And he's like, all right, cool. So he gets on my shoulders, and I stand up. Literally within 4 seconds, six security dudes are in our face going, no, 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 get up. Hey, no, you cannot do that. And I was like,
because they're afraid you're going to injure yourselves, and then they're liable or whatever.
I guess. And like, I was like, Brad, is that, has this happened before? He goes, yeah, it's a code Smurf. And I go, are you serious? He's like, yeah, they're trained to, like, you know, wipe down the floors, like, make sure nobody's, you know, stealing food and that midgets don't get on shoulders. And it was so quick. I've never seen.
That's strange.
I mean, there must have been something similar to that for them to hop on it so quick, yeah?
Yeah, because it seemed like they're afraid of it. But like, man, something else went wrong.
Yeah, they were ready.
And people booed all around us because, like, we
sure,
were
everybody
up.
Wants to see that.
We were up for a good, like, 15 seconds, like, and Brad had started dancing, and it was like, I'm sure the Jumbotron camera guy was, like, all set for a perfect zoom in. And
sure.
Let me ask you this. How does Adam Devine, how does he have courtside seats?
Oh, man, he's, you know, workaholics, Modern Family, Pitch Perfect.
That dude's loaded.
Stand up. We're doing a theater tour. I mean, it's, you know, it's not...
Right, but I just, I don't know. When I think courtside, I think Denzel, you know.
Beyonce, Copperfield. Yeah, you think the best of the best.
And second of all.
Yeah. You mistook it. It's a Clippers game.
Oh,
okay, back to you.
How dare you?
And second of all, when Brad is front row, do you ever get the feeling that that is something the players notice? And is he a distraction at all?
What a great question. Can we get Ballmer on the phone real quick?
I don't think so.
Okay. I will tweet at Ballmer later. Message received.
I'm just wondering because,
no, that's
look,
a great, that's a great you, question.
You, a little person catches your eye. It's,
oh,
you know.
After Brad danced courtside the first time, you know, at the Laker game, I mean, we couldn't walk 2 feet without people wanting his picture or a high five.
Of course.
The closest thing I think I'll ever feel to walking around with a Beatle. And so, and he even had, you know, similar types of response from this. And, he also, you know, Brad, he milks it. He loves it. He knows how to work the room. So we were definitely, like, yelling at the players more than we would. And, you know, when he, you know, we've both met and kicked with Blake Griffin, so we were yelling at him every chance we got, and he finally gave us a shout-out, and that was great.
just a new podcast, new since the last time you were on, that you're doing with Josh Wolf. Did you look around and go, there's not enough sports talk happening? I think what we need to do is put a show together called Good Call.
Well, it's, you know, it's sports and comedy, but it's without all the, like, super number-crunching and analytics of a you know, of a morning sports
talk
show.
It's not nerd sports.
Yeah. Like, we're both very well-versed and played. And but there's a lot of, like, personal sports stories. There's a lot of just our own. I mean, it's very – look, if you're a dude and you love sports and you are like most dudes who think they, you know more than the analysts do, which is fair. Like, to me, it's always like the analysts have – just access to locations that we don't. And that's why some of them know more.
Right.
They're like, I was on the court talking to Kobe.
Right.
I was on the bus, you know, talking to Dirk. I was in the shower with LeBron. And I looked down and saw all their penises pointed towards one direction, a championship. We'll be right back. And you're like, oh, you guys really know what's going on because you were there. So Josh and I just really break it down as far as, you know, as much as we where we don't make you feel stupid, and it's I mean, it's all in the name of entertainment.
Gotcha.
You know?
Now, when you said you guys played sports coming up, what was your sport?
Man, well, I played basketball, football, and baseball. I quit football my sophomore year of high school to play Danny Zuko in Greece. So that's when football went out the door.
Okay.
As you do.
Sure. And looking back on that, that's a good choice?
I think so.
Okay.
He got show business.
How many Jew offensive linemen are there?
Well, was there ever a time where you thought you
none,
were
right?
None?
Yeah, the answer is none. Yeah.
None.
Was there ever a time where you thought you were good
Rosenbaum
enough?
With the tackle. There's never, you never hear that.
to play in college?
Basketball, I would have. If I was, you know, I wanted to go pro so bad. But I was, again, I was a little fat kid, and but I was quick fat, you know?
Right.
I was, like, just as quick as the skinny kids. I just smelled like Pop-Tarts and mac and cheese when I sweat. My coach called me Krispy Kreme Abdul-Jabbar, and I was like, oh, cool.
No.
That's a nice way to compliment my skill set. Also, let me know I got a little bit of a problem. But, yeah, I wanted to go pro for sure. I mean, that was my sport. It was just because especially in Seattle, that's why there's so many great ballers from the Northwest, because when it's crap weather, you can really, you know, hone your game indoors.
Sure.
And baseball was always just so nerve-wracking. But I was – it was pretty good, but, like, I would make one error at first base, and, like, that would just, like, ruin my month. And it was like, yo, man.
Tough to shake
but
it
then
off.
You,
how about
yo,
you, Kevin?
Yeah,
you, played, you played a lot of basketball growing up, Kevin.
Yeah, I was
ever...
going to be an NBA player. Sure.
You had designs on that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
God, man, isn't that...
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
Why?
Turns out we're not...
What's
we're
the point?
Not, you and I weren't as very good at basketball.
There is a
that's
moment... Yeah, there's a moment when you go like, oh, I'm pretty good for right now.
Right.
And like... Like, that's why I say I peaked in the sixth grade, because I was like, even though I was a good high school player, a good, but you have to be, not even a great high school player, you have to be the most dominant player.
Right.
You have to be the one dunking on people, not getting dunked on.
And there's also a point where you have to accept that the time when you might have made it to the NBA has passed you.
Yeah.
And it's no longer even an option.
Like, yeah.
You always, the male mind is weird. You always think, you know what, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, could happen. Who knows?
But then you let that dream come out in ways where, like, you go to a 24-hour fitness and you start, like, elbowing dudes that are 20 years older than you just to feel the dream a little bit. You're like, I can still do it. There's scouts here. The Milwaukee Bucks could use a 6'1 Jew with a decent jump hook. No, they couldn't. Shut up, Mrs.
Funny,
Ray.
I was thinking about this when I was watching the, and we're almost out of time here with our friend Adam Ray, by the way, Brea Improv, starting tonight through Sunday. I was thinking about this when I was watching the Rose Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
They're so good at college football, yet virtually none of them will make it into the NFL.
And of the ones that make it.
Of the players on that field, yeah.
And of the ones that make it to the NFL, most of them don't make
it. It's so sad and crazy, because you look at them and you're like, you're so dominant right now, but it's like,
yes.
There is, and it really makes you appreciate the sport and the, like, the luck factor, man. Like, you have to, I don't know what that extra level of push that you have to, that is required to like make to be a successful. I mean, I think the money thing screws up a lot of guys, don't you think?
Yeah, I would think
like
so
they just get that check and they're like, "All right, time to go to Best Buy and get every TV."
Right.
You know, trying to get the Tom Hanks
Johnny
triple DVD pack.
That's who you're talking about.
Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Manziel.
Dude. That guy, is he ever going to play again?
No.
Doubt it.
No.
He'll play fantasy.
Doubt it. Yeah,
maybe so. All right, Brea Improv tonight through Sunday. Tickets just $20. Both podcasts are available through iTunes. About Last Night with Brad Williams and Good Call with Adam Ray and Josh Wolf on iTunes. And don't forget the Adam Devine Tour is coming to the Wiltern with Adam Ray as well. That one's on Saturday, March 4th, LiveNation.com. Happy New Year, Adam.
Happy
Great to
New
see
Year,
you
guys.
Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Coming by.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
All I'm saying is there's got to be a way to not have your heart kill you. That's my point.
Holy crap.
Is to avoid this heart attack nonsense, heart failure, cardiac arrest, all these ways that the heart is killing you. I'm saying there's got to be a workaround. That's what I want to talk to Dr. Drew about when he joins us coming up after the top.
Glad we're taking a look at the white hot subject of heart failure.
Hey,
we're finally getting around to that.
White hot.
It's finally, it's a thing now. Apparently it's happening all over the place.
Hello, Alan Thicke. Hello.
Yeah, I think Carrie
Fisher
is it has been happening.
Hello, Cro-Magnons.
I'm
Hello,
just saying.
Dawn of man.
Number one happening. Killer of women for decades.
People are dropping dead and I don't like it. That's what I'm saying. Maybe you like it. Maybe you're pro heart attack. I'm against it.
I'm just saying you're acting like we're
it
taking
doesn't.
A look at
Here's the
some
thing.
Fascinating new story in the news.
And it doesn't matter if you're against it or for it. It doesn't care.
Well, we're going to talk to Dr. Drew about it. He's going to tell
he
us.
I wish he would pay somebody a visit.
Dr. Drew's going to tell us how we can avoid dying of a heart attack.
I wish they would find a map to New Orleans
that
in
is
his
a
glove compartment.
Coming up right
take
after
a road trip.
9 o'clock. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. Good morning.
Hey, what's better than dragon jelly?
Ask again, please.
What's better than dragon jelly?
What's better than dragon jelly?
I don't Monster know this. Jam! Right?
I mean, I think...
Wow.
I think file.
Monster wow. Jam! Monster Jam is happening. Monster Jam.
What are you saying?
I'm saying Monster Jam.
Ah.
Monster Jam... I'm going to read you from this thing it says right here. Monster Jam is the most exciting form of family... motorsports entertainment on the planet.
Wow.
I cannot argue with that.
So how'd you like to go? We've got not only a four-pack of tickets to Monster Jam on January 14th at Angel Stadium, but you will get to be an official Monster Jam judge with Lightning alongside Lightning.
My name is Lightning, and I like big trucks.
Lightning.
All right, check, check, check. This will be... The Bean, Mike.
Lightning.
Bean, you're going?
The Bean.
Lightning. I wasn't planning
number
on it, but...
Number three. Number three. Turn this volume up. It's all the way up. Check, Check, check. And one, it, yes. two, three.
This scintillating conversation. You can share
okay,
it.
Right? At one, two, jam. There we go.
And then at the end.
We got a winner!
Caller number 20 right now at 1-800-520-1067 gets a four-pack of tickets to Monster Jam at Angel Stadium. Plus, you get to be a judge alongside our very own Lightning. So give us a call right now. Caller number 20, 1-800-520-1067. If you don't get through, you don't win. Tickets are still available at Ticketmaster.com for Monster Jam.
There we go. All right. Good sound. Good sound.
Good sound. Good sound. And while we're talking about tickets, Hollywood Babylon is tomorrow night. First Babylon of the new year.
No.
Kevin Smith and I taking the stage at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
There in Hollywood. You can go to improv.com. Come see us at 10 p.m. tomorrow night, and let's have some fun. What do you think?
I cannot even.
And we hope that maybe Bo Bice will be in the audience so we can help him with his hurt feelings. Bo Bice, you may not remember that name, but he used to be on American Idol. He had long hair, and he was a country boy.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got short hair, and he's a crying little bitch.
I seem to remember him being... He lost that season to Carrie Underwood, I think, but I think he was pretty talented, wasn't he, Ralph?
I have no idea.
He's a pretty good singer.
I have no idea.
You don't keep track of all of your past American Idol contestants?
I don't have a big graph of American Idol winners and losers. And
so what injustice did he suffer?
He was at an airport, Popeye's Chicken... And he was referred to by someone behind the counter, first of all, as Bobo, then as Boo Boo, then as Bobo again. Apparently, his order was put in twice, so the name came up twice.
Okay.
And then, worst of all, he was referred to as White Boy. They said, whose food is this? He said, it's that white boy's over there. Well, as you can imagine, he may never recover.
Did they tell him to play that funky music at all? The song goes, play that. Come on, you guys. They're referring to him as a white boy. That was pretty good.
I don't even have to say file. That's that was given, right?
That was strong. Yeah.
I know you thought that was strong.
Yeah.
Allie, you're with me.
Not even a little.
Oh.
Anyway, so he's gone. He went on his Facebook and Twitter feed saying he was outraged, and it's racism. He's a victim of racism. Because they referred to him as a white boy. Ugh. I can't. My heart breaks for Bo Bice.
I don't feel like it does. Bice.
But secondly, it's like, who could deal with that sort of racism and profiling? He was profiled. Mm. He was singled out.
They got him his food. Yes. Probably quicker than they would have any other way.
Yes, they did. They were very efficient and apparently served him his chicken. But he's very upset, and he wants to know that America should be ashamed of itself. For this behavior, and now he has to lower himself to become a public mockery, so that we can finally have this conversation about racism. I'm glad someone's finally bringing it up because you don't really see it anywhere else.
Racism. In America, you should be ashamed.
Right, racism against the whites. It's so hard to be a white guy in this, right? This country.
People,
oh,
give
that's
you,
right.
People give you their give you food. Oh, it's terrible.
You get waited on, and then you get your food delivered to you.
Ugh, being white's the worst.
Hey, new Foo Fighters album, some point this year. How about that?
Very excited about that.
NME.com says the band is committed to spending all of 2017 writing and recording its ninth full-length studio LP. So we got news. And apparently, Dave and Taylor are also working on solo albums as well. So
all right.
Those guys got a lot of music in them. They got the music in them. They got the music in them.
Yeah.
They got the music in them.
Right.
I don't think you're hearing me
I
at all.
I am hearing you.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Robert Duvall is 86 years old.
I'm still reeling from, did they ask him to play that funky music?
Whew, that hurt. Was it Wild Cherry, 1971?
Six.
Yeah. Where did it land on the charts?
It was number one.
Where was it?
The number one hit right there.
Oh. Diane Keaton, 71 years old today. Vinnie Jones, 52 years old. Marilyn Manson turns 48. Bradley Cooper, Coop, as he's known to his friends.
Are you one of his friends?
Biku.
Nope.
No.
He's also known around the neighborhood.
Nope.
42 years old. January Jones. J. Joe.
Jay Joshua, Janjo.
It's just January Jones, right?
Janjo. Janjo.
Okay.
Janjo's awesome, right?
Right, yes.
What if she played banjo? I bet she'd be Janjo Banjo.
What is happening?
Are you okay? Ralph, seriously.
39 years old today, and Deadmau5 celebrates his 36th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with me.
Every week at this time, we welcome our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky onto the program. Doctor, happy new year, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. Happy new year. Good to hear your voice.
Is it true that you spent part of your holiday over the New Year's weekend with Dave Sanchez, the King of Mexico, in Las Vegas?
Who told you that?
I mean,
Dave Sanchez, the King of Mexico.
How did that happen? How far down on your friends list to hang out with over the holidays are you if you're ending up in Las Vegas with Dave?
First of all, how dare you? And if Dave is listening, he should echo the same. secondly, if you recall, his significant other, Krista, was our phone screener for years at Loveline. Mm-hmm. And if you also know Krista, you know how whiny she is. You never call me. You never do anything. And so I was talking to Dave, literally the last time we all spoke, and he said, we're going to Las Vegas. I said, this is the perfect opportunity.
Okay. So you're just trying to get them off your back.
So you hate Wendt.
Yeah, it was a way of getting back at them.
Okay.
We had a nice time.
Of course, it's Las Vegas.
But they showed us a nice time. They have quite a lifestyle. They live an alternative universe. You may not know about it.
Oh, all right. I could explore that then. Well, listen, Doc, I'm glad you're on because I have been very concerned by the news in the last couple of weeks. You know, there much has been made about all of these celebrities that we've lost, and several of them, Alan Thicke is one, Carrie Fisher is another, George Michael a third, involves sudden things that the person didn't suspect was going to happen to their heart. And that really started getting me nervous. And then I started seeing all these articles about heart attacks and cardiac arrests and heart failure and how they're all different things. And now my head is just in a jumble about what I should be doing to make sure none of these things befall me. Can you help shed some light on this, please?
Well, first of all, I'm glad that you realize that the terminology the press was using was so grotesquely inappropriate and inaccurate. Yes.
Tell us the accuracy.
Lots of words being thrown around the head, essentially no meaning. So we first heard that George Michael died of, quote, heart failure,
okay.
Right?
Yes.
He did not. I guarantee you he did not.
Now, what is heart failure?
Heart failure is a muscle failure, a pump failure. The force with which the heart propels fluid forward, blood forward, becomes progressively, over long periods of time, increasingly impaired. That causes fluid to build up behind the heart, in the lungs, in the legs.
So that's not a sudden thing at all?
Not at all.
Okay. Then why don't you think that's what happened to George?
Because there was no story of him having progressive heart failure. I mean, that's just ridiculous. People use the term heart failure to mean sudden cardiac death, which is an arrhythmic death, which means you have ventricular fibrillation or some sort of devastating rhythm of the heart. And people with heart muscle failure can get that, but sudden cardiac death is more typically associated with a heart attack. And a heart attack is where a clot forms or a vessel, or artery supplying blood to the heart, clots off, usually by virtue of a cholesterol plaque rupturing, and all the downstream muscle dies. When it dies suddenly, it's deprived of oxygen, it will start to quiver and make the rest of the heart develop abnormal rhythm, and you drop dead suddenly. That's how you drop dead from a heart attack.
And was it a heart attack that we believe happened to Carrie Fisher on that plane from London?
Yes, that was a heart attack. And women, the heart disease often goes unnoticed. It's harder to detect. And when they get heart attacks, they're oftentimes, much like what happened to Carrie, much bigger and much more devastating, associated with shock and that sort of thing. And we can't get them back. Usually we can get people back from a heart attack, but oftentimes women that have a large heart attack, it's very difficult to get them back, and that's what happened.
Okay, so let me ask you this about the plane, because I was thinking about you when that story broke. Yeah. Apparently there were people on the airplane with Carrie Fisher who had some medical training and stabilized her so that she was still alive when they landed in Los Angeles, were able to take her to the hospital. What do you do in a situation? If somebody's having a heart attack, what can you do to keep them alive on an airplane?
CPR, basically. And on airplanes also, you have defibrillators also, and so you might be using electrical attempts to get the rhythm back into shape. Again, because she has a sudden rhythm disturbance, she goes out. The problem, though, with the heart failure or the heart attack in this setting is the blood is deprived to most of the organs, especially the brain, and so the injury that occurs while the person is sort of out, let's say, while the heart isn't functioning normally, that's where things that people don't come back from. And then there was Alan Thicke, who had the same thing that Ritter had, Jeff Ritter had.
John Ritter,
I beg your pardon. He had a tear in his aorta, which is a very unusual thing, but it does happen. Where as it was reported for Alan Thicke, he not only had a tear, he had a rupture in his aorta, which is the main vessel out of the heart, which is separate from the heart.
Okay, is there any way he could have prevented what happened to him? Because by all accounts, and you know Mr. Thicke, we knew Mr. Thicke, he seemed like he was very healthy, healthy lifestyle, played hockey frequently with his friends and family, which is what he was doing when he had this thing happen to him. I mean, he looked like he was doing all the right things to stay healthy long beyond the age that he died at.
I agree with you. This is one of those things that's very difficult to detect. I would say if I were trying to detect something like this, I would be following somebody's calcium score.
And high blood pressure, too,
and
right?
And I'd watch their blood pressure, that's right. And I would, of course, have their cholesterol very low and medication if necessary. But you really only pick up the risk for this sort of thing on sometimes an echocardiogram, but usually on a CAT scan. Mm-hmm. And you're not necessarily getting a CAT scan of your chest for any typical sort of reason. And the thing about a tear in the aorta is sometimes it also clips off the coronary arteries, so you can also get a heart attack associated with the tear in the aorta. So it's a complicated thing, and it's not the first thing you think of when somebody comes in the emergency room with chest pain, and so you often lose time trying to figure that out.
Your heart is a dick.
All right, so
we have Debbie Reynolds, where everybody is saying, oh, she died of a broken heart.
Yes, that was next up on my list of celebrities. What's that about?
Well, she didn't die of a broken heart. There's another, again, horrible reporting, because she died of a stroke, which is a blood clot in the brain, not in the heart. And I suspect that is related to the stress of what she was under, and maybe she didn't take her medication correctly or something like
that. So medically, she didn't die of a broken heart, but euphemistically, that's fairly accurate. She was so distraught over the loss of her daughter that it caused a stroke.
Yes, the stress of her, but not the cardiac manifestations. But there turns out there is such a thing as a broken heart.
What?
There's something called a broken heart syndrome, or Takotsubo cardiomyopathy. Which is
English, please.
It was essentially that the flood of hormones associated with a sudden grief, they surmise, causes the heart muscle to suddenly dysfunction and develop essentially a heart failure type syndrome in which there can be an arrhythmia, a rhythm disturbance, and people can die of a broken heart.
Wow, it's a miracle any of us are alive to have this conversation with all that you've just described.
That's just the heart, dude.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, so last question for me, Dr. Drew, because you know this is Bean speaking, and I plan to live to be 100 and stay healthy doing it. Should I be going to a cardiologist like once a year to get all of these things checked up, or what should I be doing to prevent these things if possible?
Yeah, that's
after 50, yeah.
Yeah, it's a more complicated question. Obviously, blood pressure, cholesterol, coronary calcium screening, how frequently you get up on a treadmill, and whether that treadmill includes cardiac imaging studies. Is something determined by your family history, the sense of your physician's risk that you have, and that's something you and your doctor need to talk about on a yearly basis and sort of plot out. It's challenging. There's no magic to it, but if you do get up on a treadmill, particularly with some sort of cardiac imaging, that is pretty predictive 3 to 5 years out that you're in good shape.
All right. That's great advice. Thank you. Don't forget, Dr. Drew Midday Live with Mike Catherwood, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 on 790 KABC, and all sorts of great podcasts and live appearances and everything else available at drdrew.com. Happy New Year, Doc. Welcome back, sir. Great to talk to you.
You as well. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
Did you even watch the video, Bean? I'm curious to know. Did you even watch it at all?
I watched the video, yeah.
I watched it.
But
why are you saying that?
You watched the 45-second video. Did you watch the 2.5-minute
video? We said off air that the chest of drawers didn't – you didn't see it fall on the kid in the video, which is – that's not true.
In the full video, it does. They both –
Yeah, there are several different edits of the video up online. The one that I watched was on CNN, and it starts with the kid already being under the dresser. So I didn't know what had happened prior to that.
Okay.
Then you say the kid's not squirming. Under the dresser, the kid's absolutely squirming.
I thought the kid would be throwing a huge tantrum and
he
squirming
was
his
pinned under
out.
A dresser.
What he's doing the best he can to squirm
I thought he
under
would
the
be
dresser,
screaming his brains.
Well,
out.
Then when the dresser's lifted off him, he is
crying.
Laying on his back, screaming his brains out.
But
well,
there's
what, did someone just describe it to you?
There's no sound on the video, so he could have been screaming the whole time.
Look at the video; he is absolutely screaming.
All right, well, I apologize then if I misinterpreted that.
Here's what you should
you're
do.
You're only 100% wrong.
You should watch it again. Watch the full-length one.
Okay.
I just tweeted it right this second. So watch where it actually falls over on them.
Now, what's the deal? Because we just talked to the Swole Kid, and he made it sound like as described is what really happened, that he really did pick the dresser up off of his brother. Now, what's the controversy now about this video? Because apparently we can't have nice things. What's happening, Rob?
Well, all that matters is that it's a complete hoax. That's all. Mm-hmm. Complete hoax.
Are the kids even real?
CGI?
No.
Wait,
no,
what?
One kid is Peter Cushing, and the other one is Carrie Fisher.
All right, I'm watching the kids now. They're jumping. Oh, my God. The thing just fell down right on top of one of them.
Shocking.
Right.
That's an important part.
It's good to have the video to look at before you go on the radio to talk about.
They were standing in those
right.
drawers.
Yeah.
The thing just fell down on top
over.
Of the kid.
Right. Yeah. If only there was some way you could have watched the video.
We've been talking about this all morning, and right now
for
is
for 2 days we've been talking
yeah,
about
yeah.
it.
True. And right now is when Bean saw it.
All right, so these are not real kids. They're animatronic, right? This whole thing is faked?
Well, there's a big backlash now online saying that the viral video is a complete hoax. People are flipping out. I mean, seriously, people are very upset.
Well, yesterday we were flipping out, hey, where the hell are mom and dad? How do they allow this to happen? So that controversy is now passed, and now it's whether these kids are even real or not.
Here's one commenter's take. Hoax! Exclamation point, all caps. Come on, people. Nothing in the drawers.
Right.
There wasn't anything in the drawers. That's true.
See?
Yep.
And that means what?
Maybe it's a new dresser. Maybe they just put it in.
Right. So how? So his
point. Allie's suspicious. Allie's already suspicious, by the way. Yeah.
Why is there nothing in the drawers?
Dad works for a nanny cam company.
Okay. Mm. For me, that sheds a lot of light right
cam
there.
Cam facing wrong direction, says this commenter. What direction would you think it would be in their room? What do you know about the room, you creep?
Well, you do only see one bed in it. I don't know if they share that bedroom, but it definitely isn't on both the beds. It is on the dresser.
No one comes right away.
No one comes at all.
Another commenter.
Well, we were told afterwards in the interview with the parents that the mom was asleep and didn't know that there was anything awry until she walked into the kid's bedroom in the morning and saw the dresser was on the ground. That's when she went to the video.
You can't hear a dresser fall.
Or your kid screaming. Bloody murder.
More comments. Obviously fake. Your kid should be taken away for using them as a publicity stunt. Listen. People. Listen, Allie's people. Why don't we all just relax and just take these people at face value and assume that it was an accident. Everybody was luckily got out unscathed, and there's a lesson to be learned, which is make sure your furniture in your child's room is secured to the wall.
All right, what about this comment beneath the video? I'm curious why the brother did not scream for help. My kids always come running or screaming at that age when somebody is hurt, when one of their siblings,
he's
older or younger.
Two.
He recognized his brother needed help, though. Why didn't he get mom? Why didn't he try to get somebody to help, an adult to help, do you think?
Right? I'm so mad at him.
What a loser that kid is.
The kid that rescued his brother?
Yeah, the one that lifted the dresser up his brother. Wow. I can see why you'd think he's a dick.
What a dick that guy is, huh?
Although one point in the video, Bean, you wouldn't know this because you haven't watched it, but he does climb over the chest of drawers to get to the back to see if he can
he
help.
He sort of sits on the top right
he's not,
on his
not helping
brother's head.
He's not helping there at all as he climbs on top of
right.
the chest
that's
of drawers.
That, he was going to punish him first before he helped him.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Two, they don't know that. They don't know to run and get help. They're not speaking, really, even at that point. They're just working on instinct.
All right. Well, they're participating in a hoax, I'll tell you that. That much they're doing. They're very comfortable fooling the American public. In a video that I hope to see one day.
Yeah, you really should take a look at it. You'd find it fascinating.
So what's your gut? Put it on a percentage scale for me, Ralph. How likely is it that this thing is fake because the guy's trying to sell mani cams?
None fake. 9% fake.
I would give it a tiny bit. Go ahead, Allie.
Now that I find out that he runs a nanny cam company.
A nanny company. I mean,
were the drawers empty?
That doesn't bother me nearly as much.
No one's seen the kids ever.
They're ghost kids.
They're ghost children.
Maybe God talked to him and told him to do it.
They
and then the ghost kids came
that
in.
Someone else was working with that little boy to get the dresser
I'm
off.
I'm going to put it at a 7% chance.
I'm going to give it 12.
Fake.
12%.
All right.
I'm going to do some more investigating.
I wish you
as
would.
The day.
Get on that,
okay.
Would you?
Yeah.
Get your team. Get your investigative. Get your eye team out there on the street in the van and see what you can hunt down, you lunatic.
Does anybody in this room have a chest of drawers at home that is empty?
Mm-mm.
No.
Okay.
But that proves nothing.
Maybe I guess it's a baby room. I mean, they're two. They don't have a ton of stuff.
Right.
I get that.
It could very easily be a new piece of furniture.
But you know why they don't?
My kid's bedroom with furniture that didn't get used until she grew into it.
You know why they don't have a ton of stuff?
Ghost kids?
Ghost babies.
That's what I thought.
Not real.
Sure.
Oh, my Lord. These are the end times. No parent is going to put their kids in a situation where a chest of drawers will fall on their heads.
Not real kids.
They are real children.
Not real children. Bodie and Brock? Come on.
I heard you just talked to Bodie, by the way.
Did he swear?
Well, the actor that they hired to play Bodie, yeah, we talked to him.
I see.
He's kind of a dick, too.
These are the end times. Hey, Friday. That's tomorrow. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage for the first time in 2017 to celebrate Hollywood Babylon.
No.
Smith and I do it at the Improv on Melrose. We'd love to have you come out and join us tomorrow night. We're going to have a pretty good time. Talk about Kevin's new gig as director of the Goldbergs. Very excited for him.
Yeah, it's great.
And he's doing another Supergirl, I think, next month. The guy's like, it's like become Mr. TV director now.
All his dreams come true.
All of his dreams are coming true. Absolutely. Most importantly, he gets to work with me on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine how exciting it must be for him? He must be over the moon. Sometimes I just look up and say, kid, it's okay, relax. I'm just a regular guy.
Put on my pants like everybody
else.
That's
right. Don't get so worked up and so excited. It's just me, for God's sakes. Today's celebrity birthdays, Robert Duvall, 86 years old today. He's a good damn actor, that Robert Duvall.
I don't know, a little movie called The Godfather.
Yeah, no one was arguing. I felt like there needed to be someone saying, he's not that good. For you to come back with that
right
anger.
Overrated. Really? Someone said overrated, so right. I can understand the volume.
Right.
The intensity of
but
your
no
response.
No one said anything.
Nope. We're pretty much all in agreement.
Perhaps I broadcast too much.
Wow. Misplaced anger.
And Kevin, of course, Robert Duvall got his big break in what feature film?
A Mary Poppins.
Not Mary Poppins at all. To Kill a Mockingbird.
Right, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, is he Boo Radley?
He's Boo Radley in that film.
Oh, my God, I love him.
Apparently not enough to know that he was Boo Radley in To Kill a Mockingbird.
He was Apocalypse Now, right?
Yes,
he was.
He's
real good. Shall we just go around naming Robert Duvall?
And a little something called Gold...
What?
And a little something called Godfather.
Oh, I thought he was in a gold movie. I thought he was going to be in a gold movie. I was looking forward to what you had to say.
He's been in so many good movies.
Right.
He's great in all of them.
Right.
Then why don't you like his acting?
Why don't you guys appreciate him more?
I have a little something called Tender Mercies.
Right? How about that?
An Oscar award for that.
How about that? As a matter of fact, how about that?
He's 86 years old today. Diane Keaton. Who's also in a little movie called Godfather.
Was she?
What? Yeah, she's Al Pacino's wife.
Michael's wife.
I know.
Oh, you're kidding. Okay. You're kidding?
You have no idea.
She's not kidding.
Have you ever seen The Godfather?
You've never seen...
I will pluck your eyes out with a fork.
You've never seen The Godfather. None of them. None of them.
Speak the words so people can hear your shame.
Are you serious right now?
No.
You've never seen a Godfather movie?
I haven't. I've just been busy.
You binge-watched...
For the past 40 years?
Seven seasons of the Gilmore Girls, yet you haven't spent 2 hours to watch The Godfather?
Yeah, but Rory's pregnant, so.
Oh, my Lord.
Allie! You would love it.
You love movies. Matters. What about when you see lists that come out every year of the greatest movies of all time?
Yeah, people love Godfather.
It's always number one or number two. What about that?
I've seen Goodfellas.
That's not the same thing at all. It's the same genre. No, it isn't. Because you've seen Goodfellas doesn't mean you've seen Godfather.
That's The Godfather.
I've heard of that, yeah.
You've heard of it.
Yeah. Okay, so she's heard of The Godfather.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well done, then. 71 years old today. Actor Vinnie Jones is 52. Marilyn Manson's 48. Bradley Cooper turns 42 years old today. January Jones of Mad Men fame is 39. And Deadmau5 is 36 years old today. Deadmau5, one of my favorite bands, by the way. They get all five of them together. He met them when they move in sync when they're doing their choreography. Love the Deadmau5. One Bad Apple. Wasn't that their hit?
He does EDM. He's just Deadmau5.
Who's EDM? I don't even know her.
It's Edie. Type.
Edie. What's the M stand for?
McCall?
Music.
Edie McCall.
I mean, I've got that pull, but I've never seen.
Right. You are the worst.
I release you all.
Thank you.
Go in peace.
Figure out the SoCal.
I'm Ralph Garman.
The SoCal helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour here.
I think it's Edie McClure. I don't even think it's McCall.
Here on K-Rock, 5 p.m. this afternoon. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, so we've got the movie beat. We also check in Las Vegas with R.J. Bell to talk Wild Card Weekend. We also, we're going back to Vegas to Ashley Esqueda, who's there for CES. Brand new internet roundup and the star of Underworld Blood Wars. A little purse by the name of Kate Beckinsale.
She's on tomorrow's.
Can I just finish her?
Please do.
Kevin and Bean Show.